mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got Bob Chapman joining us coming up in an hour and a half to break down what's happening in the world economy from the International Forecaster. Then we have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts coming up in the fourth hour today after Mr. Chapman leaves us, of course, former editor at the Wall Street Journal, former head of policy, Department of the Treasury, father of Reaganomics, a true conservative. He'll be joining us to go over basically what we're facing as a society and where he sees the economy going as well, and what this big January surprise is that Biden and Powell and prime ministers and presidents around the world are saying they all know about, but we don't know about. Bob Chapman says he thinks he's got intel, and he was, of course, in military intel before he was the largest gold and silver broker in the United States. That he knows what the big surprise is specifically. And so we'll be talking about that with him coming up, as I said, an hour and a half. I have been aware of Rahm Emanuel for, well, since 1995 when I really got informed, started getting informed. I was politically active in college. And I would say more informed than, say, the average Joe, but I was still kind of in the left-right paradigm, kind of like a mainline Ron Paul supporter. And early on, I learned who the enemy of the Republic was, a great enemy, a kind of a new type, a new generation of a George Shultz super gopher for the New World Order, or a Henry Kissinger, or as a Zbigniew Brzezinski, and that's Rahm Emanuel. He is a total anti-gunner. He wants to ban Americans owning firearms, basically. He spearheaded the assault weapons ban. He spearheaded NAFTA and GATT. He is the man that gets jobs done. And he has sworn to get our guns. That's the new chief of staff. They're talking about a bunch of other appointments. It looks really bad, folks. And I don't want to be associated with the really just mindless, hateful, and by hateful, a lot of them have attacked me and made stuff up or exaggerated or twisted things I've said, and they all fight with each other, and so that's a distasteful group as well. But at the same time, I'm a USA First guy and a Second Amendment guy, number one, and a First Amendment guy. I mean, that comes first for me, and I've just got to say it. I mean, it was one thing with the last administration, and I was hoping it was a fluke and was going to stop. But, I mean, come on, folks. Every key person in the Bush administration and now in this next administration just so happened to be the sons and daughters of the founders of Israel and Mossad chiefs and people, and they're openly not even really U.S. citizens, and they openly are at the head of the table in anti-gun operations in the U.S., and I'm sick of it. I mean, Rahm Emanuel's been in the Israeli military. He gets up on news and says he's Israel first, and I've had enough of it. I mean, I am really getting sick of it. I am really getting tired of it. Now, I'm against Schwarzenegger being a foreigner, and he's over here anti-gun, and he also wants all these carbon taxes and the rest of it, so, you know, it's the same thing. I'm sick of it, but we don't have, you know, Austrians in every, you know, major power position. British intel's deeply infiltrated and got their people everywhere, too. And that's bad, but, I mean, I just can't take it anymore, folks. I just can't take it anymore. I mean, Israel gets all this money from the U.S. to buy their citizens M16s, which is fine with me. I'm all for citizens anywhere being armed. But then I can't have my guns? I mean, everything the United States has done for Israel, and then we have to turn our guns in because Israel says so, so we can be good little slaves to the New World Order? Oh, God, help us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
There have been prominent PhD historical scholars, scores of them, in the last few years have gotten a lot of attention, writing books and articles and white papers about the undue influence that Israel has over United States politics on both the left and the right, one of the most powerful lobbies. You also have the oil lobby and the defense lobby and the banking lobby, but Israel is key at the heart of, or at least in large sectors of those groups as well. And I've made films about it, and I've made a film about the USS Liberty. You know, it's in Terror Storm, and we've had a lot of guests on that have covered it. We haven't made it our only issue and the only thing we've talked about, and so we've been criticized for that. But criticism never affects my stance on things. I always go with what I believe is right, and I cover the information that I believe is the most accurate. And unfortunately, a lot of the people criticizing Israel do it in such an unsavory, childlike manner that it really aids a lot of the corruption we see coming out of Israel and undue influence over our political process. And that's why, going back to the 20s, there are a lot of documents, books have been written on this by major professors, a lot of them Jewish, Zionist handbooks about go out, stir up anti-Semitism, get people to attack the general Jewish public so that they will then support what the inner group is doing. You know, to, quote, get our people on in line, as they say. They say, to get our people in line, we need to go out and stir up and foster and support anti-Semitism. And then that actually compacts the group more psychologically, gets more people who are, you know, not involved in the larger criminal syndicate to go along with what's happening. And every major nation, every major group throughout history organizes itself along what you could call organized crime lines. The British Empire, the U.S. Empire, the German Empire, the French Empire, the Dutch Empire. I mean, we're just stating the way systems operate. And generally, most empires have been racially based or religiously based. You know, the Roman Empire was about Romans, not even so much people from Italy. What is Italy today? But the Roman city-state itself, and most people who lived in Italy, even if they were of the same bloodlines as the Roman aristocracy, they were still slaves. Then later, they were all made Roman citizens, and then the Gauls and the Germans and others were made Roman citizens, and then Rome collapsed. So that's how things are based. And, you know, from a historical view and from an anthropology view, I understand it. And I see it for what it is. But I'm not going to, you know, it's one thing to have powerful elements of the Israeli lobby all over the Bush administration and to have them being, you know, some of the most energetic cheerleaders for the Patriot Act and torture and police state measures and warrantless spying. That's bad. But to now have Rahm Emanuel, whose father was one of the head terrorists that founded Israel, and Rahm Emanuel himself is in the Israeli military, Israeli intelligence, dual citizen, I mean, I'd be against having the chief of staff be British and openly have worked for the British government. I would be against Arnold Schwarzenegger being in this cabinet, which they're talking about doing. It's bad. On its face, it's wrong. On its face, it stinks to high heaven. And in Haaretz, in the Jerusalem Post, in the agency French press, these are the headlines. Obama's choice for chief of staff puts Israel's man in the White House. And that's the headline in Israel. You know, we run the White House. We've got the White House. I mean, but then as an American citizen, I'm not supposed to mention that. I'm supposed to just sit down and shut up and go along with that. Now, to add insult to injury here, I mean, do you need to have questionable birth or you know, have your lineage in this country be about a centimeter deep like Obama to be president now? Do you have to not be born here and say that you want to be a Hitler dictator to be a governor? Do you have to be an open, you know, Mossad officer like Chertoff or Mukasey or Rahm Emanuel? I mean, do you have to be a foreigner to run our government? I mean, it's not enough that Israeli government runs the company that does 98% of caller ID and phone tracking in the nation. That's been mainstream news. Is it not enough that Israel has the sole contract to, quote, guard the nuclear weapons? Our own government doesn't even have control of them. Is it not enough that Israel had fingerprints all over 9/11? Is it not enough that that all of this is going on, but this guy, this Rahm Emanuel and a bunch of other people they're talking about appointing now, is the anti-gunner. I mean, he's on record saying ban basically all rifles, ban assault weapons, make you turn in semi-automatic rifles, handguns, ban 308, ban 223, ban 50 cal, register all American gun owners. Handgun Control Incorporated says their plan is the abolition of private ownership of guns. They said that in an article, what, 1999, attacking me in the Statesman. They said, well, don't worry, we've got your kids. They even bragged in the local paper. They said, we have your children in the schools. And let me tell you something. I take great offense at Rahm Emanuel and the Israeli lobby coming in here and basically running the gun control lobby in this country. That's very dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, to have any foreign nation moving in and taking over the intelligence operations of this criminal government and openly pushing gun control. And that crosses the line. That crosses the line. And I have to be very careful how I approach this, though, because I am not going to feed in to tribalism. I am not going to, because if you approach this and do it in a nasty way, it actually empowers all of this race politics and religious stuff. And I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to state the facts, and that's why we've put out about 6-7 articles by Kurt Nimmo and Paul Watson and Steve Watson in the last 48 hours exposing all of this, and we're going to do more of it. As if everything else I do isn't dangerous enough. The Republic comes first. And the Second Amendment comes first. It comes above my life and my name and my reputation. It comes first. And Rahm Emanuel is also wanting the Violent Radicalization Act passed. He's the guy trying to pass hate laws, which will restrict free speech in America. It isn't enough to come after the Second Amendment to disarm us to be good little slaves, little compliant slaves, as foreign domination of our government is flaunted in our face. But now, our First Amendment has to go. And the same groups are at the forefront pushing censoring the web, Lieberman and everybody else, and censoring free speech. And federally, he wants a domestic MI5 with a... He's the author of... Go back to Clinton, but it all started with the Secure Corps, part of AmeriCorps. It's Rahm Emanuel who wants the Million Stasi Tattle Brigade. I mean, he wants to restrict free speech openly. He wants to ban your guns openly. He wants a million-person tattletale squad openly, and he is a foreign intelligence operative of a foreign nation. I mean, does the humiliation of this country get any worse? Could it be any deeper? Could it be any more humiliating? He also, in his congressional run, has gotten more Wall Street money than any other person running for Congress in history. This is just one of these people. And so we see moving in the defense lobby, the banking lobby, and the Israeli lobby more than ever. More than ever. The executive branch is nothing but a nozzle to suck up the wealth and the treasury of this country and offshore it. The Congress is completely ceremonial. And until we start admitting the Congress has handed over its authority, was threatened with martial law when they were getting 1,000-to-1 phone calls against the banker takeover bill, and they did it because they know they're threatened with martial law, they're threatened with the media destroying them, they are ceremonial. They have been cowed. They are afraid because they know they'll be killed, they'll be shut up, they'll be destroyed. They know that. This country is now under total darkness. This nation is now completely and totally under international crime syndicate control. A consortium of wicked robber barons, black nobility, that is the old royal families of Europe, intermarried and interbred with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. I mean, go read the newspapers. It's all admitted right there. They don't even hide this stuff. And so if Agency French Press and Jerusalem Post can run headlines with the Israel's man in the White House, I mean, go read it for yourself up on Infowars.com, BrisbaneBonnet.com. I would be against that, period. Having these people openly say, oh, I work for the Mossad. I mean, the Attorney General, Mukasey, the Homeland Security Director, Chertoff, his mother and father, both founders of Israel and Mossad. And he openly says, Israel first. And then we have Rahm Emanuel and all these other people, and they don't even care. They just say, yeah. Yeah. And we're going to take your guns. And you know what? The churches, the Zionist churches, the mainline Christians, the phony Christians. I'm a Christian. People misunderstood what I said yesterday. I said these phony Christians saying lay down, wait for the rapture. And FEMA and Homeland Security hiring 24,000 preachers to go around and give their flocks sermons saying turn your guns in, submit to government. And they've got the heads of major denominations on TV saying it right now. I mean, folks, this is life and death now. This government is totally bankrupt and totally criminal. And now the mindless left, who could see the police state under Bush, they're now completely blind and cheerleading Obama, the new puppet who runs nothing.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Scores of newspapers are reporting gun sales are the highest they've ever been. The people know. This is the New York Times, Kirk Johnson. On concerns over gun control, I mean disarming the slaves, gun sales are up. Sales of handguns, rifles, ammunition have surged in the last week, according to gun store owners around the nation, who describe a wave of buyers' concerns that Obama administration will curtail their rights to bear arms. Well, yeah, the top consultant and the man openly who got the assault weapons ban through is the new chief of staff. He's a gun snatcher, said Jim Pruitt, owner of Jim Pruitt's Guns and Ammo in Northeast Houston. He'll get hit by BATF now, which was packed with shoppers on Thursday. He wants to take our guns from us. Remember, he said we're clutching them. He's going to take them. He wants to take our guns from us and create a socialist society policed by his own police force. The American giant is rising, folks, added Mr. Pruitt, a former radio personality. He said that a president-elect Barack Obama, Mr. Pruitt said the sales of last Saturday, just before Election Day, ran about seven times higher than a typical Good Saturday. A spot check by reporters in four other states easily found Mr. Pruitt's comments echoed from both sides of the counter. And I called several gun shops I know yesterday. They said they've never had sales like this. David Nelson, a co-owner of Montana Ordnance and Supply in Missoula, Montana, said his buyers were awake and aware to see a dangerous trend. And by the way, this isn't Russia and the Bolsheviks. You're not getting the guns, you understand? But you can't help it. You're going to go ahead and push. And I just feel sorry for all the... Man, before I go any further, I watched News 8 Austin for 40 minutes this morning on the treadmill at home. And it was all brainwashing of the children. They had some Mexican mafia trying to rob some store, and one of them shot at the cops, and they killed him. That's good. I'm all for them defending themselves. And then the two of them ran off, and then they'd already caught them, but they still had this big lockdown of eight schools and told the schools they're in your school, just lying. And all day, then they had SWAT teams, and they've boosted the paramilitary police in Austin from dozens to hundreds, running around in military outfits, training us to be locked down and be slaves. So I watched that, and the children and the parents going, yeah, we were told they were in the school. We were told, and robots driving around in the schools, all part of brainwashing the children to go under martial law. Any excuse to do that. And then the next thing was about, how they take the brownies, the Girl Scouts, in and brainwash them about global warming and the climate. It's just everything's brainwashing. Everything is brainwashing. And I'm, I, I just, I really blew up yesterday, and I've gotten better and better about not getting into a really negative, nasty mood, but, I mean, I felt nasty. I felt, you know, when you just feel dirty, you feel vomitous, you feel just not even angry. It's more just sick, because I can't believe what's happening to our beautiful republic, and I can't believe just how pervasive the propaganda is. And on the environmental front, there are thousands of horrible environmental things happening, being done by big industry and biotech and companies, and GMO foods and GMO crops killing the honeybees and everything else. None of that's being curtailed. That's being expanded. None of it's even being investigated or looked at. And this whole thing about carbon taxes, that is openly to be paid to the private foreign banks. They openly have announced what was in their documents decades ago. They're now openly pushing. It's all happening. Everything you do regulated and tracked and traced. What you exhale listed as a toxic waste. They're making you the enemy. The Club of Rome, the head of the CFR, says that. And then meanwhile, our government is totally, I mean, what did Congress do in 95, 96? They handed over their authority on trade laws to the World Trade Organization, foreign international body controlling that. They hand over our banking regulations to the International Bank of Settlements, the IMF, the World Bank. Congress, through trade deals, hands over its authority to foreign groups and foreign organizations. Our country is totally run by multinational corporations. And then the chief, there are several groups, the chief management group, talk about change, it is change. Even more open Israeli citizens coming in to run the White House. And then they say, we're going to pass bills to restrict free speech. We're going to pass bills to restrict the internet. We're going to pass bills where we shut down anything we want on the web. And we're going to come after your guns. And we're going to bring in a North American Union. I mean, I'm not going to take it. I am not going to be part of this. I am not going to go along with this. And I'm telling you right now, the American people aren't. But that's what the government wants to keep pushing and pushing. These corporate controllers want to push and push and push until the people revolt and resist. They're doing everything they can to make us mad, everything they can to drive us into rebellion. And they know the racists are hopping mad, too, over Obama. They're against him for the wrong reasons. So, I mean, this is the perfect storm, folks. We'll be right back.
Your women crying. Look at your young men dying.
Yeah, I've got scores of mainstream news articles here in front of me. The New York Times goes on to say, in Colorado, would-be gun buyers, would-be, we have to be federally checked first, and you are registered, by the way, set a one-day record last Saturday with the largest number of background check requests in a 24-hour period, according to figures from the Colorado Bureau of Gun Confiscation, known as the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. We're not really sure who's promoting the concept that a change in federal administrators might affect firearms possession rights, but an agency spokesman, Lance Klem, but we do know that it's increased business considerably. Yeah, the normal 8-minute waits nationally are over 2.5 hours, as reported by the Associated Press. I called 3 gun shops yesterday. They said they're selling out. The ammo is gone. There are women, old people, black folks, white folks, you name it. They're just grabbing everything. That's the spirit. Get off your butts. Buy guns now. Hope for the best. Prepare for the worst, ladies and gentlemen. And you see, I've analyzed the attack pattern of the criminal, illegitimate federal government that's nothing but a receivership arm for the foreign banks. And the attack pattern is classically the most vicious and deadly ever seen. It is a classic Stasi or NKVD early Russian Revolution mass roundup, mass starvation, mass extermination attack pattern. I'm not kidding. Now, the CIA in 47, when it was founded, this is now declassified even on History Channel, decided to support Mao. They publicly claimed we were supporting Chiang Kai-shek. Wasn't true. They then funded him and the IMF and World Bank, its precursor, the International Bank of Settlements, the OECD, funded them, and China implemented all of its policies and exterminated 85 million people. The Chinese government itself says they killed 85 million. The U.S. says 62 plus. The United States and the British banks, the Rothschild banks, openly funded the Bolshevik Revolution and the murder of 60 plus mil in Russia over 30 years. Now, they are setting up the exact same attack pattern here. But I do want to tell the SWAT teams and paramilitary forces that are just swelling all around us, and the intelligence groups and all of you, the state police intelligence groups, all of you, the Blackwater people, all of you, this is not going to be like Iraq. This is not going to be as easy as sitting around machine-gunning a family up against a wall and laughing about it. This is not going to be as easy as you think it is. I'm going to stay in the United States. I come to grips with this every day, but I just resign myself to whatever happens, and I'm just going to tell it all like it is. And it's just, you know, I'm going to defend the Republic, and I'm not going to try to cover my butt, and I'm just going to tell it like it is. And I'm telling you, we have the most vicious, evil people running this country you can imagine. They have all these corporate whores that have sold out to them through cowardice and through greed and through arrogance. They're coming for your free speech openly. They're coming for your guns openly. And they're going to do it all through an economic depression where they say, oh, well, we've got to do all this because of riots and starving and wars. And they're going to start wars with Iran. They're going to start wars with Pakistan. They're going to start wars with Russia. God help us. Just God help us. Here's the kind of news I have in front of me. Dems target private retirement accounts. Now, this is out of the Carolina Journal. It's up on Infowars.com. CNBC also had a report yesterday going, well, yes, it's being looked at to go after retirement accounts and go after pension funds. And just like Argentina, or just like Iceland, just like anywhere else where they do it, they're calling it protecting them. The government is going to take them to protect them. They're talking about taking more out of your paycheck and making you invest it in the stock market. This carbon taxes they're putting in California, New York, Oregon. Now they're about to do it federally. On everything from plastic bags to fuel to natural gas, everything, coal. You think the economy is shutting down now? What do you think is going to happen when China and India and Mexico and 160-plus other nations make zero emissions cuts, but we have to? Well, our industry will move there, and there's international studies showing we'll actually increase those emissions of, by the way, things that aren't even bad, like carbon dioxide. But the point is, if you're believing it's bad, fine, then let's have that argument. Let's say it's bad. How is exporting it to China and India, who are never going to adopt this and have said they never are, it's a tax on us. That will further deindustrialize us, increase the emissions, but that's what the globalists want, to bring down with the Western world, to bring down any middle class, to bring down any sovereign independent group. So it's all over the news that they're coming after your pension funds. God help us, they're just going to rape us so bad. And there's all these poor, stupid, power-tripping cops, like it's just a sports team, like they're the Cowboys and the American people are the Seahawks or something. And you know, we're going to kick our butt. All these bubbas, hey, I wear combat gear, I'm tough, I ride a Harley, my wife's a topless dancer. You have no idea the water you're in. I do, and I'm completely... not even freaked out. I'm just completely awake, completely alive to the point it's hard to bear. I am white knuckle all the time. I am totally, my brain, I'm going a million miles an hour. Analysis so fast, so spot on, I can't even articulate it. I can see the full picture, and you know what? I keep hoping the full picture I saw over a decade ago wasn't accurate from all their documents and all their activities. I mean, folks, when they've been running secret camps for decades, they now admit they've been running secretly. civilian inmate labor camp. Just Google it. You'll be on the Army's website. That they could keep a dozen huge camps secret with people in them. That they can go on the news and lie and say it's the law to take vaccines when it's not, and line up thousands at sports stadiums and parks with police and riot gear with dogs barking. That image of them being shot up, people crying, saying, I don't want to take it, but it's the law, when there's no law. When they got 26,000 preachers, excuse me, in the last wave under the clergy response teams secretly. Now it's declassified. That's why they're all, we got a bunch of videos up of preachers, you know, giving sermons saying, do whatever the government says, what's coming. Very bad things are coming. It's of the Lord. Go wherever they say, do whatever they want. Understand, they're really going to do it. They're really going to do it. They're really going to take all your pension funds and all your retirement. They really are going to take your house, your farm. And they're going to send your own family, those of you that live in the countryside, it's going to be units. It's going to be your own army, your own military. And they're going to come with American flags flying. And you know what? You're going to stand down, a lot of you, and give them your farm, your ranch. But if 1% don't, if 1% of this adult population doesn't lay down, that's 2 million people fighting back. A large portion of them that are going to fight back are going to be veterans who just don't care anymore, who are tired of all of it, who know they have nothing left to lose. And that, too, is part of the plan. The shadow government has prepared for decades to push us into a corner, to make us fight back, to make us wipe out their first waves, and then to bring in I-4 international mercenary forces. Oh, God. They want that. They want us to break down like Russia. They want us to go into civil war like China. They'll sit off at their international command centers offshore, orchestrating all of this, while all of us Americans destroy our country forever, fighting with each other. I want to hear from military, and I want to hear from police today. I want to hear from you. Go to the head of the line. The lines are full right now, but I'm going to go rapidly through the calls. I want to hear from you. Are you going to go along with this? 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. What are your family in the military saying? I know they're aware of it. It heartens me to know that they're breaking record gun sales everywhere. And it's been record gun sales for a year. But just breaking all the records. We become fat and decadent and evil, but there's still that core of liberty, that core of who our ancestors were. And I know that I'm not going to probably make it through this, and a lot of us aren't, but we're going to kick the New World Order's butt. We are going to win, and the enemy is going to set off nukes when we start beating them. They're going to nerve gas cities. They're going to do everything you can imagine, because they're going to do it. They're going to start the war, folks. And they're going to pull out every stop to try to reorganize things globally through emergencies. But in the end, sanity is going to prevail, and the New World Order is going to be arrested and put on trial, and they are going to fall. Their New World Order is going to fail because it has to fail. They're not giving us a choice. They are never going to stop pushing. They can't help it. It's the nature of control freaks throughout history, whether it was Hitler, Stalin, Mao, it doesn't matter, and they are going to lose. They are going to lose. The New World Order is going to lose. Just like the U.S. acting as an empire lost in Vietnam, just like Israel just got its butt kicked by Hezbollah, those men swore to fight to the death, fighting with light arms in a checkerboard fashion. The New World Order is going to stage terror attacks, everything else, but they're going to lose. And I would advise people in government, but I don't think you're going to back off, but I would advise people in government, back off. You know you're crooks. You know you're evil. You know you ship the drugs in here. I know you want to rob us all. I know you want to dominate us. I know you've got that instinct to try to dominate everybody. But let me tell you, back off, New World Order. You're picking a fight you can't win with Russia, with the United States, with sovereign populations that aren't going to be slaves anymore. All right, I'm going to go to some people that disagree first. What is it, Chris in Tennessee and Kazakh disagree? Then I'll go to Sam, William, John, and others. Now, if you disagree, just have your comment question ready because I can't get stuck for 10 minutes on it and then not get to everybody. We've got to break this habit of not taking enough calls. Kazakh, let's go to Chris first. He disagrees first. Chris in Tennessee, go ahead.
Hey, I'll try to go really quickly. I've looked into this and have found that there's an elaborate psyop that I think that has everything to do with the chaos that they want to come through this future world war to bring in the new system. And I think that the elites, even the so-called Jews, have a deep-rooted anger and hatred for the Old Testament believing Jewish people. I know you know that, and the ringworm children and all that. But they say one thing and do another. It's like the American border amendment thing, and all the politicians say, you know, defend Israel, you know, nuke Iran, but our actions are totally opposite, and we fund their enemies to the teeth, and, you know, the AP is...
No. The United States... Well, I agree. I don't know what we're disagreeing about.
I know. Let me get to the final thing. It's really, really thing. But I do think, and I know you agree on all this, that they have us brainwashed to think Bush is a Christian, and that's why America is obliged to join this coming deadly war, which, even if he was a Christian, the Bible doesn't say to support Israel militarily, you know, it says to bless them. But anyway... that in itself is a propagated lie, but here it is. I think that this World War III is coming, is going to be blamed, just as Albert Pike said, on the Judeo-Christian religion so that they can blame everything, you know, just like the Holden Truth Movement is saying, you know, they're putting it in our minds that religion is the enemy. You know, you've got to fight against religion.
Certainly the people in all these groups and the leaders in Israel are Illuminist, and that is their religion, and that's what the Rothschilds funded that new... you know, Israeli Supreme Court with a giant all-seeing eye over it, and I agree. And I'm saying it's multinational evil, but I'm saying still, it is outrageous. You know, I mean, if we had British, you know, intelligence operatives, I mean, don't you agree we shouldn't have Rahm Emanuel and Chertoff and Mukasey? And of course, people are meant to see that. That's what I said. Is that it's meant to create all this anger, and then that creates this this dialectic. Because then the globalists then also create the anti-Israel fervor and run those groups. And I said, that's why I'm not with those groups. But I'm stating what's happening, and I'm not denying that it's going on.
Yeah, I just think that like they were painting Bush to be a Christian, they're going to paint Barack Obama to be, you know, at all costs defending Israel, so they'll have a good reason to say, you know, this is why we've gone into war, this is all our problem, look what it's caused us, blah, 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 you know, because the new war is going to be...
Yes, it's deadly. Very, very sophisticated. And the New World Order is very, very sophisticated, and I appreciate your call. Now, I don't do any of this out of a hatred. I mean, you know, I criticize Barack Obama, and there's all these people on Infowars.com and PrisonPundit.com saying, oh, Alex, I have a psychology degree, and you have suppressed racism towards black people. You're just upset he's black. No, I don't care. And I almost want to come out and, you know, get past this whole guilt thing and attack the fact that so many black people think it's okay to be racist and hateful towards whites. And I'm sick of it. You know, I grew up in Dallas, and in every case, I had black people start fights with me, racially. But I don't dislike black folks because of that. And I know that all black folks aren't like that. In fact, a minority of them absolutely hate whitey. And I'm not going to be part of it. I'm not going to sink to that low. So it's upsetting to have to come out and criticize Barack Obama because I wish that I could embrace it. And I tried to earlier when he said he was anti-war and when he said he was anti-wiretap and Patriot Act. Now he went back on all that to showing he's going to be more hawkish than Bush. And so I'm freaked out. The same thing with Israel. I don't like criticizing Israel because I don't want to be associated with the backstabbing, hateful, none of them can even get along with each other, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish movement that's huge out there and gotten bigger under all this Israel flaunting its infiltration of the U.S. government. And all governments try that. Israel's been very successful. So see, you know, this is philosophical and it's not complex, but for the public it seems to be. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate Israel. I know Israel's very diverse. I know Jews are very diverse. I know there's really three or four different types of, quote, Zionism. I understand all of that. There are more Gentile Zionists than there are Jewish Zionists. And so I hate even getting into this subject because it only adds into the balkanization and the fighting. And I don't want to be associated with the people that all they talk about is Israel and all they do is drip with hatred of Jews and then they make up so much stuff. You know, I go and research what these people say over the years and so much of the time it's made up or exaggerated. I mean, an example is, I am not Jewish. My family is not Jewish. I'm also not a Vatican assassin. I'm not any of these things. But it wouldn't be bad if I was. And those people say, no, you are, and that's it. And so, see, I don't take them seriously either. But at the same time, we have to get past this taboo of not criticizing Israel. I mean, Israel, Knesset brags, Ariel Sharon bragged that we control America. Now, whether that's true or not, that is arrogant, and I'm a nationalistic person.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
The point I'm making is that Rahm Emanuel and all these people openly are the kings of anti-gun, openly say they want our guns, openly say they want to restrict free speech in the United States. And it's very insulting that they're not even really U.S. citizens. And they're openly Mossad, Israeli army, here running the White House. And I'm against Schwarzenegger. I don't want him to be part of the cabinet. I'm not against Austrians. I am against, I mean, it's like Obama can't even, you know, prove that he's really, and they won't release that birth certificate. But the point is still, 20, 30 years ago, if your family hadn't been here a couple generations, you couldn't be in the CIA or the FBI. Because it's about, you know, other countries, they don't, you don't go to Israel, you don't go to Germany, and if you hadn't lived there for generation after generation, you don't become their president. Take Sarkozy. He's not even from France. See, this is globalization. They're getting us used to having leaders that aren't from our countries, and I'm sick of it. Kazakh in Jamaica, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alex. The issue, the main issue I want to deal with today is that last week you misrepresented me.
No, I said, are white men the devil? And you said, yes, they are.
Listen, that's not what I'm talking about. Can I finish?
No. You can't finish. I didn't misrepresent what you were talking about. Are white people the devil?
Yes, I said that last week, so that's not what I'm talking about.
Why do you even want to call in?
Why do you even want to call in and talk to a devil? What?
Why do you want to call in and talk to a devil?
That's why I'm calling. On your father's side, you're Indian. That's why I'm calling.
Now look, I'm so sick of racial... Put him on hold. I'm tired of it. I don't dislike black people. I don't dislike Jews. I don't dislike Chinese. I don't dislike Mexicans. But I happen to know that there are 35 million illegal aliens in this country, and the majority of those illegal aliens, openly on their Mexican radio, say that white people are evil and they're going to take over the Southwest and kick the gringo pilgrims out. Okay? And so I'm allowed to say I'm sick of their racism and I'm sick of yours. I'm not bad because I'm white. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of every other group saying Israel does it too. Everybody hates us, so we're God and everybody else is the devil. And then the black Israelites, no, we're the God race and everybody else is the devil. I'm sick of it. I'm sick and tired of it. All this multiculturalism is about looking at our differences and hating each other. It's about making it an issue. When I just want to live in peace with people. Look, I'm going to give you I'm not going to censor you. You've got 2 minutes. I'm not going to talk to you, though. I'm just going to put you on air because, you know, I'm a white devil. You better not talk to me. Go ahead.
All right, beautiful. Like I said, you misrepresented me last week when you said that tribalism is attractive, suggesting that I'm into this because of tribalism. First of all, when I watched Hebrew So-Called Negro, which was the documentary that woke me up to the truth, and before that, by the way, I was an atheist, but I was learning so much about history and facts, and about the Egyptians were black, and so the Jews had to be black, and Jesus, the original paintings were black, I was starting, certain things are dawning on me, but when I watched Hebrew So-Called Negro, all it did for me was teach me that I was a Jew. Okay, it didn't say black white people were the devil. It didn't say I didn't know anything about the laws of Moses, et cetera, okay? That's the main point that I want to make. Okay, and matter of fact, I sent you emails, okay, from me, my name, Kazakh, to you, that shows you my opinions before I came into the truth about these social issues, okay? And then the second email I sent you has videos to prove to you without a shadow of a doubt what's going on in this world. And what those videos pertain to is this. Psalms 83 and 2. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
Okay, you've had your time. What are you going to do about the gun confiscation? What are you going to do about the New World Order? What are you going to do about them poisoning your water? Nothing. You're just going to say you're a God creature.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are a public trained to disassociate our mental processes from real issues. We're talking about Barack Obama working for the foreign banks, looting the pension funds, the Treasury, expanding that operation, openly saying he's coming after our guns, pulling them out of our clutched hands. And then I talked about Obama Kool-Aid drinkers yesterday, just like we talk about Bush Kool-Aid drinkers. That term talks about Jim Jones, cult members doing what they're told. There were huge debates and discussions on my website how I'm now a racist saying that black people drink Kool-Aid, and that's some racial term like fried chicken and watermelon. I didn't know that that is supposedly along those lines, and I am not going to apologize. This is the Stasi, East German / hate speech, political correctness they had in Russia and Eastern Germany, where everything was analyzed, what you said. We're free Americans. Let's speak our mind. If I want to get up here and say horrible things about black people, I'd do it. So don't you dare in your little pea brains out there, it was mainly white liberals, come in here and try to imply I don't like black people. And then I'm not going to sit up here and apologize either. I promise I'm not. I beg I'm not. I've been racially attacked by Mexicans and blacks my whole life. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. All these groups are tribalist and racist. Whites are too. I'm not. I understand human beings are human beings. So stop trying to invent stuff. Stop trying to invent things. Kool-Aid drinkers. Obama Kool-Aid drinkers. Kool-Aid drinker means Jim Jones cult followers. Oh, just idiots. Instead of addressing the banker raping and how he's getting ready to have an embargo against Iran and all of this, what do these people do? What do they do? They say, you're just a racist. Instead of addressing the issues I've brought forward. Let's go to Sam in Alabama. Sam, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Yes, sir.
I just want to let you know, man, that I appreciate everything you've done. Everything you've been doing, I think you've been doing a great service to the country. And I've got a few of your DVDs. We don't have a radio station out here that picks you up. But I've been copying a few of them and handing some of them out. And,
good.
Trying to do what I can. You know, I got a family, and it scares me to see what's going on. And I was wanting to tell you one thing that happened to me. But I had one day I went and picked my wife up at work, and I had a winch to take back to Harbor Freight. Took it up there, swapped it out. Before I could get out of the parking lot, I got pulled over. I asked them what was going on, and they just got hateful with me and told me to pull over. So I pulled over. And they told me that they had got a call of a possible drug deal. And I thought it was kind of strange, but I went ahead and went with it. And they wanted to search my truck, so I let them search my truck. And they They wound up letting me go.
Oh, how nice of them.
They arrested another guy. They asked me if I knew who this guy was and what kind of vehicle he was driving and all that stuff, and I said no. And they arrested him, let me go, and a little bit later, that was on a Friday, and the following Monday...
Stay there. I'll let you finish the story. More calls at 1-800-259-9231. See, they used the phony drug war to grow the domestic intelligence operation. Now they're going to flip it into terrorism and arrest you for your political views. Don't go to the torture facility.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Barack Obama's ascension to the throne of the Imperium, record gun sales. He appoints Rahm Emanuel, the guy that rammed through NAFTA for Clinton and was the head czar over ramming through the assault weapons ban. We got Bob Chapman joining us in 30 minutes. We'll have open phones with him as well, and Dr. Paul Craig Roberts in the fourth hour today. Got a lot of other economic news. I want to go over the stock market plunging again yesterday and stabling out today for now. But Sam was talking about how he pulls into a Harbor Freight. I bought a few tools there. And he takes back a winch and trades it in for another one. And the police come out and demand to search his car. I would have made him get a warrant, but I don't blame you. So they were being mean to you, yelling at you. Then they arrested somebody else who was there. And then you said something happened later. Go ahead.
Yeah. My wife went to work the following Monday after that. And she's told some people, you know, over there what happened. And come to find out, several of the people over there where she worked had the same thing happen to them, and the same thing they told me was what they told them. They said it was a possible drug bust, drug deal, and gave my description and, you know, told me what they had.
I've had Austin cops back. It hadn't happened in about 10 years. Pulled me over on the highway, not even speeding.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have different names for it, but they, you know, saturation policing, other things. And it's not like a checkpoint where they block the highway or a road. It's a checkpoint where they'll say have 30 patrol cars out on a stretch of road, broad daylight, or could be 2 a.m. in the morning. And they just randomly start pulling people over. And they'll say, oh, you went over the center line, or the lights burn out on your... over your license plate, or we're looking for a car of this description with drugs. You got drugs? I'm going to go ahead and search your car. And so these are warrantless, America-killing operations, and now under federal grants, it's happening all over the country. Police will even take your blood on the side of the road without a warrant. They call it a group warrant. It's just like the FISA court with random group warrants for the whole country. And that's what they're doing. So she found out at work that they were doing the same thing, just randomly pulling people over.
Yeah, they done it to a bunch of people, and it kind of freaked me out that had happened.
It's secret police, sir. That's Russia, that's China.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that live in Russia and live in China and live other places, Americans that work there, and they say none of that happens there now because the people won't put up with it. They've lived under it. Here, Americans don't know. They don't know what's happening.
No, they don't.
And now it's not even, they're not even slowly turning the heat up now. They're doing it more and more. Another favorite is a fake 911 call. And people go, it's happened in Austin a lot, but all over the country, it's come out in the news. They will claim, they'll show up at your house middle of the day or when you're not even there and knock down the door and say, oh, we got a 911 call from here. Or they'll say, we got reports of illegal guns here. Ma'am, let us come in. We heard there's illegal guns here. And they do this in rich areas even. You know, I mean, it's bad in the poor areas, but when they start doing it in the rich areas, they're getting everybody ready to just have them come in your house. When they want, how they want, come in your business. There's 3 million of them, and it's so horrible.
Yeah,
it's so horrible. Meanwhile, there's rocket attacks and mass murder and 2,000 dead on the Texas border in the last 11 months and for 10 and a half months. And just total crimes ignored, and we are the slugs. We are the slaves. We are the right whale. We're the ones they go hunting because we're fat and stupid. Okay, so what else? They just said that this was happening to a lot of other people.
Yeah, it happened to a lot of other people. I don't know, my wife didn't tell me all the details.
You need to go into the police department.
Yeah,
you need to file a complaint on them, and you need to say, I don't appreciate you taking this federal grant. You need to go to the city council. You need to make a big deal out of it. But what else happened?
Yeah, that was the end of that, but I was going to tell you about this. With me handing out DVDs and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I had went to the library to, to look at the newspaper reels about Bush, about Prescott Bush.
And the Nazis?
Yeah, because me and my wife has been back and forth a little bit on that. She has a hard time believing things. She has a little bit harder to convince than me. But I had them pull up the reels over there at the library, and those people over there started freaking out because they didn't know that. And I went ahead and gave them a couple of DVDs, that had a few of your films on it. And, I've just been handing them out a little bit randomly. I went to Channel 48 and gave them two DVDs, and the person I talked to over there said that they probably won't do anything about it. I told them what was on it, and they started telling me about FEMA camps and stuff like that, so they know some things that are going on, but they won't talk about it on national TV.
Yeah, as a nation, we're being bullied and cowed, and now they mean people to know they're spying on us. They mean us to know they built the camps so that we cower and go along with it. If we stand up like free men and women, and if we stand up like Americans, the enemy's going to have to back off.
I took one to the cops, too, and they asked me what was on it. I started telling them what was on it, and the guy started getting mad. I mean, he acted like he got mad at me. And, when I left, I pulled out of the parking lot, and before I got to the first stop sign, there was a cop on my bumper. I took a right and was heading back to my wife's work.
Yeah, these guys are on power trips. They don't know how they're being set up. And he's like, that guy's anti-American. Go run him, Junior.
Yeah, he followed me and changed lanes. Every time I changed lanes, he followed me all the way to my wife's work.
That's right. How dare you? And it's going to be the same thing with Obama. How dare you talk about our leader? You're probably with him. You're probably with Al-Qaeda. So what happened? I mean, I would have pulled over and asked what his deal was. Of course, he probably would have just murdered you right there for it. How dare you, slave? I'm going to taser you to death now. How dare you even come around here and talk to us? This country's ours. We run it.
Yeah. And it's scary to see what's going on, and I see all this stuff.
Sir, the CIA's bought off every major mayor. They pay them millions a year. The average troops, a private's given $30,000 in cash to corrupt them. Then they tell them, now you're on the payroll. They've got millions of crooks working for them now. They know. Most of these guys know now.
Yeah.
And they're looking forward to it. They're telling them, you're going to get nicer houses. You're going to get people's cars. You're going to get their businesses. I remember about 8 years ago, it was in the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and I couldn't believe it when I read it, that the police will go sell each other, not even an informant to somebody else, drugs in bathrooms, and then the cops seize the bars and restaurants and then own them and run them themselves, and then it was reporting that half the bars in the city were now owned by cops. I mean, they just rule us. They're God.
What do you do?
It's just that they know we're going to resist, and I don't know. You've either got evil ones or you've got total idiots right next to the crooks who don't even know what they're part of. I appreciate your call, sir. Look, you get together with friends and family and neighbors, and you go to city council, and you bring up what's going on in our community, and you educate them. All right, let's go to more calls here. We already talked to Chris in Tennessee. William in Alabama, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Good.
You know, I'm kind of tired of all these racist comments that people are putting towards you. I mean, I have to deal with it myself and my job, and, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Yes, we elected a black president, but, you know, it's the master. It's the same as the old one, but now he's super strong, and he's going to be even more worse than what Bush was. And it's going to happen. I mean, what's going to happen if this guy happens to get assassinated? Because Joe Biden scares me even more than what Lyndon B. Johnson was in the 60s. With the things that come out of his mouth, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be against what Obama does, even if you were a Green Party or a Constitution Party or a Libertarian. You've got to love Obama or you're racist. You've got to turn your guns in. You've got to give them your pension fund. You got to roll your sleeve up and take the shot. You've got to accept the young punk in a uniform on every street corner spying on you. You've got to become their slave or you're evil.
Well, I'll tell you what. They'll be taking the gun out of my cold, dead hands when this starts.
They know that. They want to kill you and move into your house.
There's what, about 160 million people that are in this country right now that are armed? What would happen if all of them came together and united against the government? You would have another American Revolution, wouldn't you?
But see, they plan on pushing us into that. We just have to expose how criminal and bankrupt the government is, and that it's the private banks that orchestrated the economic collapse and the private banks taking over. And then their system is just going to collapse. They want to bring it into total civil war. And I'm not saying don't defend yourself. I'm saying they're going to push the people. I mean, look, they didn't hire 26,000 preachers and tell them to train their flocks to go to FEMA camps and give speeches about Romans 13 and submitting to government for nothing. They're making their move. Now, they won't fully make it if they understand we've got our ears up. But they'll just bomb more federal buildings and say we did it as a pretext to crack down on us. And they'll find a place with a place with kids. You know, they'll find a daycare center in a building, a federal area, to show you images of dead kids. They'll have their federal photographers out when the little blown-up kids come out. And they'll say, people that don't want to turn their guns in blew the kid up. I mean, it's real simple psychology.
It's absolutely disgusting. I have just one more question, and that'll be it for me. Do you think that there's any connection between the five Russian nuclear weapons that have been supposedly stolen from Russia, have any connection to NORTHCOM?
Yeah, that's right. It's totally made up. Meanwhile, we have Minot, North Dakota, and we have New Orleans with them, with the Air Force caught trying to steal nukes and ship them to the Middle East. So, yes, they're creating the story that Russia is going to nuke us.
Tom's currently doing training exercises with the military and police.
Yep.
For in case of a nuclear disaster.
Yep.
It's all false flags. I mean, I knew it beforehand. I read the articles, and I just knew in my heart.
We're out of time. Appreciate the call. Mainline conservatives love having devil dog marine killers that'll kill little kids and ask for seconds. Then you're so shocked they come home and kill their own families and kill their neighbors.
Lay there in your bed.
Same thing for the Army. Well, guess what? 2-3-4 tours, their minds are fried. That's the ones they want.
Understand your man.
They put them in the police force.
Understand your man.
And, you know, they've been in Iraq for years, kicking in 50, 60 doors a day. Now they're rotating in those battle-hardened brigades. It isn't one brigade. It's about five brigades and a bunch of other units. That's just the public stuff. By the way, I told you that years ago. They announced one brigade a month ago, and then they announced 2 days ago a bunch of other brigades. Just exactly the brigades I told you. Because we've visited with them. We've run into them. We've had them threaten us. But they're here. They work for the foreign banks, and it's not your military. Just like under Hitler, the military didn't work for the people anymore. It worked for him. John in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex?
Yes.
Back in the 70s, when I lived outside of Detroit, I had a chance to talk with Victor Herman personally. Now, Victor Herman had went to Russia when the Ford Motor Company built a plant there to work him and a lot of people from Detroit. And when they were there, Stalin had them all arrested. A lot of them were shot, but most of them were put into labor camps, and they were beaten and starved to death. He said the only reason he was able to survive was he had to eat rats raw. And a while back, I was in the hospital, and I had a Vietnamese nurse. And when she found out I was a Vietnamese veteran, or I mean a Vietnam veteran, well, she couldn't do enough for me. But we sat down one day, and she was telling me what her father, who was just a small village mayor, he was there when the communists took over. He was arrested, put into a re-education labor camp. They beat and starved him to death. The only way he survived was he had to eat worms. Him and some of the friends were able to escape, but their friends were hunted down and killed. He was able to make it to Thailand and escaped. But that's what the labor camp system are like. And you know, you go to Google, they already have a labor camp system set up here. So when they come to take your
guns... No, it's mainstream news that the Americans are in labor camps run by the Army now.
So when they come to take your guns, if you're foolish enough to give them up, that's what's going to be waiting for you.
Yeah, you have nothing. You have nothing to lose. We didn't ask for this. We didn't start it. It's not our government. Don't let them have your children.
And don't let them have your guns.
Anything else? Oh, it's so sick. Lyndon and KC, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Great to talk to you today. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got a couple of comments, and then also I've got a theory I want to discuss with you. Comments being, here in Kansas City, they just announced on the radio that on the noon news, gun sales had hit a record high. And so I think a lot of folks are kind of sensing something's coming down the pike. And I think that's probably a trend that's pretty common around the country.
Just like mice when they know a tornado's coming or an earthquake 2 days before.
You bet. Hey, and my theory is, just wondering why the New World Order is taking such a fevered pitch these days and seeming to, like, you know, not really being trying to disguise what they're doing. Have you ever heard of the Planet X theory?
It's all bull.
Okay, so you don't think there's anything to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, that's why we've been unable to wake enough people up, is everybody gets into chupacabras and space aliens and Planet X, and, I mean, it's just, do asteroids hit the planet? Absolutely, you know, are we floating around in space? Yeah. But I just stick to what I can prove. I mean, I've got all these newscasts and mayors and people and, you know, where they built camps in their towns a decade ago, and I've had them on, and, I mean, I've read bills where they want to put you in a forest labor camp and, you know, in Oregon for 25 years for any misdemeanor. I mean, you know, it's all real, and I can't get folks to even deal with that. So they're not doing this for some outer threat. They're doing this because they want a world government, and they're ruthless. I mean, why did Stalin kill 60 million people? Because they like killing people. When Stalin really got going after Lenin, they would... NKVD and others would send back letters with lists of everybody they'd killed or stolen from, and they'd say, okay, what do we do now? And he just said, you know, randomly arrest people, randomly kill them. This is what they like to do. See,
it just seems difficult for me to figure out how they get so many people on board with this in the higher echelons, because I got to believe...
Because they're on power trips, man. They love it. These guys love... I mean, they're not too bright, number one. Stay there. We'll talk about it more when we get back. I'm going to finish up with Lennon's call. We're going to go to Rico, many others that are patiently holding. Bob Chapman with us for the next hour. Later, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts joins us. A lot of people hope for the best with Obama, but out of the gate, he's announcing gun control, open borders, total banker takeover, thought police squads. You can't make this stuff up. I can't believe it consciously. So that is coming up. Before we go to Bob Chapman and your phone calls, I'm going to tell you about a couple of the sponsors that we really appreciate that I have, and a lot of other people that have approached us about sponsoring us. I refuse most. These are products I really believe in. One of them is the Cola Blue. It's the coolest water from air generator. You know, there's humidity. Well, it grabs that water out of the air and puts it through five different filters. The water passes through an activated carbon filter, then a silver impregnated carbon filter, then a reverse osmosis system, and a Tatian odor removal filter, and is stored in a tank illuminated by an antibacterial fungal UV light. And I'm drinking some of it right now. Just delicious. 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044 to get a free brochure or to order one. They have a huge line of products, ecoloblue.com, ecoloblue.com. Big banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, ecoloblue.com, 866-585-4044. Give them a call today. They got operators there 24 hours a day, 866-585-4044 or ecoloblue.com. Also integrated into that is Food Shortage USA. This is a way, regardless of what's coming in the future, to learn how to, on the cheap, every week just order a little bit more, buy a little bit more at the store, what's inexpensive, what's nutritive, how to save things, what type of things save best. They've just got so much great info. Check it out, foodshortageusa.com, or get their publications and material by calling them 877-327-0365, 877-327-0365. FoodShortageUSA.com. It's just Food Shortage and then USA.com. This website reveals a step-by-step way for the average person to get prepared for what's ahead. I think the best part about the system is it gets you off the food grid, even if you don't have a lot of money to spend. The site is FoodShortageUSA.com or 877-327-0365. And then I literally haven't even plugged my videos all week. I hope that people will go to Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Peruse the safe, secure online video and bookstore shopping cart. Check out the books and films. You may be all aware of everything. Your friends, your family, your neighbors aren't, and they are waking up like never before. People in their gut, not just intellectually, know we're in deep trouble. They know we're in deep trouble. And already a lot of the left is going, wait a minute, Barack Obama's totally going back on everything he said out of the gates. He told them, now, I'm not going to do what I said I'd do now. You're not going to like what's coming. The left's not going to like what I'm going to do. See, it's bad, folks. And Infowars.com or call toll-free to get a free catalog of all my books and videos. The books and videos we carry or to order online. Again, Infowars.com. The number's 888-253-3139. And your purchase of the books and videos also makes this show possible. PrisonPlanet.tv. Just thousands of hours of my videos and films and super high quality. We put up 3.5 hours of the interviews we did with Jesse Ventura and Willie Nelson behind the scenes in super high quality for PrisonPlanet.tv members this week. My in-studio interviews, my Sunday show we tape, it's all there, PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day. And your support of that site not only gives you great quality videos, you can download them and burn them to disk in high quality to give to people. So on any subject you can imagine, martial law, the police state, GMO food, the vaccinations, fluoride in the water, the FEMA camps, we cover it all at PrisonPlanet.tv, just thousands of shows and subjects, and it's all there. And so it's a factory of resistance, an armory in the info war. Use it now. We can turn this around. We're not Russia or China. They're trying it, but they're going to fail. They want the emergency reorganization and total enslavement. They're conquering us economically. The globalists are, the bankers. We can defeat them. Okay, finishing up, we're going to go to Bob Chapman, finishing up with Lyndon in KC. Lyndon, you're saying, how do they get corrupt police?
Well, not to go backwards, Alex, but my theory is if Planet X has re-entered our solar system and they know it, they're going to be preparing in every diabolical way they can.
Sir, that's just a made-up. Why did Stalin or Hitler set up?
It happened during the time of Noah. It's evident in the Mayan references. About every 3,600 to 4,000 years, this passes through our solar system.
All right, I appreciate your call. I guess the Romans slaughtered and enslaved countries and populations and wanted a police state because of Planet X. And I guess the Aztecs did it because of Planet X. And I guess Hitler did what he did because of Planet X. And I mean, look, I'm not attacking you, sir, but I can't intellectually just agree with you because I don't. They're not gearing up because they're afraid of some calamity. In fact, I've caught them telling police they're preparing for some disaster. That's how you ask how they sell them. They tell them the people are going to riot. We've got to do it. The economy's falling apart. We didn't do it. It's an accident. There's lots of terrorists everywhere. We've got to maintain society. Bob Chapman, the internationalforecaster.com, military intelligence, the largest gold and silver broker, the largest before he retired, then came back. Now still one of the biggest newsletters out there on the economy. You've dealt with this. You were there with, Gary and, so many other people. Gary Allen with None Dare Call a Conspiracy that millions of copies went out. Partners with him. You worked with J. Edward Griffin. You've been around 45 years fighting this. How do they seduce a nation? How do they sell the police and the constabulary on going along with tyranny?
They just tell them they won't get paid. I think it's pretty simple. And that's what happens in every country. They say, look, you know, you've got a job, and this is what we want you to do. And if you're unwilling to do that, we'll find a way to get rid of you. I don't think it's any more complicated than that.
Yeah, but the relish, you know, I mean, I've seen it in newspapers in Kentucky where somebody gives them a Ron Paul video. The cops come to their house and arrest them. They put them on trial and say the video is anti-government and illegal. Kelly Rushing, and the video was of Ron Paul on the floor of the house, and the state police said, we don't like your video, and I called the judge at home, and he said, yeah, Mr. Rushing's going before the jury next week, and they tried to convict him, saying it was a terroristic threat against the government to hand out those videos. I mean, how do you get cops to love destroying America?
Well, I think they love the power trip, and it's not sectarian in nature for the most part. It's just anybody who comes within their clutches, whether, you know, it's somebody who shows what's really going on in the government, or someone they might not like for whatever reason, and creating charges against them. Not all policemen are that way, but many of them are, and it's unfortunate.
Well, yeah, it's always the commander or the police chief, and then the fish rots from the head, as they say. I found that some areas you got great police forces, in other areas you got the horrible ones, but the feds are doing everything they can to put the bad guys in charge.
Yeah, you're right about that. And also, as you well know, and you've spoken about many times, the militarization of police, and that's going to continue to get to be a larger and larger problem as we go along.
And for people, Bob, that don't understand that, the military kills people and breaks things. It's an us against them mentality. So when they militarize the police, well, who's the enemy? It's us, the people. Go ahead.
No, I think that covers it. We are the enemy. I mean, they are going to do what they're told. And unfortunately, the police are going to end up in the middle. And if they try to do things like that to the public, sooner or later, the public are going to challenge them. And whether it's with weapons or without. And that means we won't have any police left because they can't beat off the people. There's too many of them.
Yeah, it's one thing if poor, unarmed...
The police are doomed if they follow their orders.
Elaborate.
They come after Alex. They kick his door down at 3 a.m. in the morning. And Alex supposedly reaches for a gun, and they fill him up with lead and haul him out. That's the way they do it. And that's what they will do. I've seen them do it before. That's why I don't live there anymore. They don't like me, just like they don't like you.
But what chain reaction do you see? I mean, you know, inner city folks burning a few buildings, and the media, I've found out, always puts out the disinfo that they're shooting at firefighters. That's generally made up. But, you know, try to sell the public that, oh, look, they're bad. And I think, you know, that those type of riots are bad. But it's a totally different thing if the middle class goes after them. I mean, it won't be burning things.
You mean rioters or police?
I'm saying the American people resisting.
Oh, they'll resist sooner or later. What will bring that on will be economic problems, financial problems, which we're getting into deeply now, and also the excessiveness of police as they're guided by the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, did you see today's unemployment figures?
Yes, I did. It's over 1 million people lost their job in the last year.
And did you talk about it on the air?
No, go ahead and give us an economic rundown.
Well, first of all, unemployment, this is short-term unemployment, and there's a reason for this, went to 6.5% from 6.1%, which means, I don't have it here, but what means U6. U6 is another government figure that tells you about the unemployment plus the people who lost their unemployment checks recently. I'm projecting about 11.5% on that unemployment. Long-term unemployment, which is a government figure, which was 14%, should be 14.5%. Now, they're telling us still that we don't have a recession. well, my goodness gracious, I wonder what that is that we're experiencing. Stimulus package. And they were talking $168 billion like last time. I wrote about $300 billion two issues back. Today they're talking about $500 billion. And, of course, that's not going to solve the problem. There's 10.08 million people out of work in this past month. The highest level in a quarter of a century. And, of course, there is no recession. Or at least that's what Wall Street and our government tells us. And payrolls at builders, the people who make houses, dropped 49,000. 35,000 before that, the month before. Financial firms lost 24,000 after losing 16,000 the month before. Insurance companies, restaurants, retailers subtracted 108,000 after being off 201,000 the previous month. Payrolls decreased by 38,000 in retail. It was down 20,300 the previous month. Government payrolls went up 23,000, of course. That's how they cover some of this stuff. And it goes on. It is dreadful reading. And those aren't even the real figures. The real figures are being hidden from the American public. And what are the real figures? Probably long-term is probably around 17 to 18%.
Well, Bob, I'm in the supposed per capita most wealthy city, best off on real estate, business, industry, the college here in Austin, Texas. And I'm talking probably a third of the restaurants, whether it's Delaware Sub I used to go to or a nicer restaurant, they're just gone. They're just closed down. They're just not there anymore. There are, in the nicest parts of town, in the poorest parts of town, things boarded up, businesses, gyms closing, companies laying off masses of people. Every media company in town is just slashing employees, slashing people. And then they tell you the economy's good, the economy's great. We're not even in a recession. I mean, they just talk to us like we're children.
Well, retail sales figures come out this morning. I don't have them in front of me, but they were dreadful.
Yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst leading into Christmas sales, they say, in over 25 years.
Exactly. And they say that 60% markoffs are not even, nobody's rising to the bait. And they're having to discount 70, 80%.
Well, Bob, let me go back here. I mean, in the past and other big recessions and things, they would admit it. Why are they lying now? Is it just all part of the total deception?
Yeah, it's all part of the total deception. It's just like the suppression of markets, the increases in other markets. I mean, look, they just ran the dollar up. It's going to go back down, but they ran it up. They just ran the stock market up today. When the retail figures came out and then the unemployment figures, the stock market was up 50 points, a Dow. It's up 200 points right now in round figures. Now, how can that happen? That is ridiculous. And so our government is in there pushing the market up because normally it would go down 300 or 400 or 500 points based
sure.
upon that news.
Bob, I want to shift gears. Obama. Out of the gates, he's announcing Rahm Emanuel, who is the head of the major gun ban groups. I mean, that's in mainstream news. He is the head gun grabber in the country. He's the guy that got the assault weapons ban through, NAFTA through. This guy is openly a Mossad agent. That's even admitted. Israeli military. Again, I'm against Arnold being a cabinet member because he's not a real, full citizen, and won't renounce his Austrian thing. So it's the same thing with Rahm Emanuel. They're talking about putting Arnold in there to be the greenhouse czar to go around slapping, quote, bankrupting the coal industry, 49% of the power. It's actually higher than that, but that's their number they're using. Remember, I've got family that works in coals. It's more like 60% of real power, electrical power to our homes. They factor in, but side issue. The point is, they're announcing that they are going to tax all plastic. They are going to tax all fuel. They're going to tax all coal, all oil. And then, of course, the third world countries, they aren't going to have greenhouse taxes, so even more jobs are going to leave. Who are they planning to tax, Bob?
I don't know, but it's going to be pretty difficult. And it's, you know, just another, you know, like you said, changing gears for the Illuminati. They're just ratcheting up one more gear. And I think in order to obliquely take attention away from what's going on financially and economically, plus all these other little goodies that you just mentioned, I think they're going to have a war. And we discussed this last week when Paul Watson was on. And I think what they're going to do is probably embargo Iran's oil exports. And that will hopefully, as far as they're concerned, draw them into a war. And, of course, if they draw Iran in, they'll be drawing Russia.
Yeah, let's explain. They're going to stick more destroyers in the Strait of Hormuz and not allow the Iranians. And an embargo is an act of war. That's killing their economy. That's the main part of their economy. And under international law, if you're illegally embargoed, you're allowed to defend yourself. Just like, yeah, well, but the point here is that they're saying the big surprise in January, they're saying, is that what you're saying the big surprise is?
I think so. And I think they're going to sneak attack Iran is what they're going to do. If they refuse to capitulate, to get on their knees and say, well, come and look at what we're doing. We're not making bombs here, et cetera.
Meanwhile, they're putting out false reports that Russian nukes are missing. Meanwhile, U.S. nukes really are missing. Minot, remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. God help us. The globalists are completely ruthless. We're going to talk about what they may be planning to do, what they say they're planning to do, with our new savior, Lord Obama.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end. My only friend, the end.
Ray guns for fleet. Mullen military is ready to respond to transformation. Terror attack. They're saying they need another terror attack to be able to launch more wars. The Denver Post reports undercover cops were among unruly at DNC. Mainstream news, we told you, we knew it. They were in there provocateuring. They were in there starting the fights. We talked to eyewitnesses, including radio station workers who were there setting up to do live feeds in one of the major parks down by the Capitol. And they said, yeah, these vans pulled up and these guys jumped out, these Marines. And then they, right under those trees, put on anarchist outfits and went and started fights. I went and talked to other witnesses and they said cops would do it. And here it is. I mean, I want to go back into Iran, Bob, but how do they get cops all over the U.S., all over Europe, to go out and stage violence so they can attack the peaceful protesters? I mean, it's hard for me to believe that our police are so criminal, Bob.
Well, it has been that way for a long, long time. It's just that people are noticing more than they have since the 1960s. They were provocateuring there. They were funding what supposedly was the opposition. The FBI and policing agencies were infiltrating groups that had never done anything wrong. And they think it's okay
to stage violence so they can demonize the crowd and then
exactly
put it on the news. Because,
that's
again,
right,
you got to demonize Americans protesting. Back to the crisis. For those that don't know, Colin Powell, Joe Biden, and literally scores of other world leaders have said major international crisis in January, and they've even written all these white papers saying, boy, another terror attack would sure be great. Do you think that's in the cards, Bob?
Yes. How it will come remains to be seen, but they'll be there. It may be a group of events, or it may be a large event. But if they get this thing going on in the Middle East, they probably don't need an event. I think they've already decided that they're going to pull this embargo thing, and then I think Iran's going to be they're being pressured now. And I think they're just going to be told, look, if you don't do what we tell you to do, it's curtains. And they'll disagree, and Israel will immediately attack with the help of the United States.
That's right. And again, they knew Bush was a political dead duck and too much political pressure from the left. But with Obama, just like Belgrade and Serbia, it's going to be okay. And that's why Biden's saying it's going to be very unpopular with the left.
I think you're right. And I think he's right as well.
Now, by embargo, you mean blockade,
right? But they're gonna sneak attack them just like the Japanese did at Pearl Harbor, and they're gonna go after their not only the nuclear facilities but all of their military facilities. And the question is, when this attack comes, will the Russians act immediately, or will they act after that? That remains to be seen. But the Russians are going to react.
When NATO forces went into Pristina, the capital of Kosovo, the Russians moved in, and General Clark, Wesley Clark, gave the order to attack the Russians, but General Jackson, the head of NATO, countermanded it. That would have been World War III, by the way. Back in 1 minute.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I'm seeing news articles all over the media going, hey, there's new pigs that are going to have organs for humans. Of course, if you read deeply in the article, it goes, oh, by the way, the pigs are part human. They're clones. Oh, man, you tell the public that they don't even believe it. Do you know the dangers of rogue viruses and viruses getting into bacteria and mutations through that? It's already happening. The honeybees are all basically dying. But they don't care about that real environmental crisis. They're just going to attack breathing. Bob Chapman, our guest, for another 30 minutes or so. I'm going to take your calls at 1-800-259-9231. Here in just a moment, 1-800-259-9231, on any subject. Bob can speak to it all. He's one of the granddaddies of the what we know as the Patriot or Liberty Movement. We always appreciate him joining us once a week. The internationalforecaster.com is his website. Check it out today. Bob, finishing up with Iran, they're openly saying get ready to strike Iran, get ready to go into Pakistan, get ready to start stuff with the Russians. And anybody who doubts these globalists, it looks like it's just neocon too. That's who they're putting back in, the same people. They snuck attack Russia 2 months ago. They staged 9/11. They went into two other countries. These are bold individuals, aren't they, Bob?
Very bold. Never liked that before. But now they're, I don't know whether they're comfortable with what they're doing, or I think they're afraid that if they don't move expeditiously to get this war going, to deflect the economic and financial situation, and to get young people in many countries in the world off the streets and into combat so that they can get killed, which, of course, is population control. And at the same time, the United States government come up and say, look, we're going to have to default on all of our debt because we can't pay it because this terrible war has bankrupted us.
And you're going to have to sacrifice because we're in a global war. We're losing. We already see him the first night when he won Tuesday night. He said, get ready for pain, get ready for austerity, get ready for sacrifice. And now the Democrats are saying get ready for national service, which is a draft.
That's right. So, if you wanted to get your kids out of the country, your grandchildren out of the country, you better start thinking about it. And don't expect to send them to Canada, because they'll send them back.
Well, that's what elites do throughout history. It's their instinct to want more power and more domination, but they're also bored. I mean, they like people starving. They like people degraded. A lot of RAND Corporation documents have come out. Carnegie Endowment for Peace says they want war. They admit it's the wars are really against domestic populations.
Well, a good example is the plan to invade South Africa, which was put out by Carnegie in 1962. And incidentally, I still have a copy of that. And had not they been able to accomplish what they did via the isolation of South Africa, they would have gone in and invaded it.
It wasn't because they loved black people. And it wasn't because they loved black people as they shoot them up with HIV in their UN shots. It was because they don't want any sovereign standalone nation.
Well, they consider people in Africa useless eaters, as they do in Asia and parts of Central and South America. And that's just their attitude. To them, they're subhumans.
Finish what you were going to say about South Africa.
About the invasion of South Africa?
Well, you were saying they were going to do it.
They didn't have to. They were successful politically. The Afrikaners bend over and said, here, take the country. So they didn't have to have an invasion, but they surely had one planned. I lived there, between 1969 and 1973, for 3 years, both in South Africa and what used to be Rhodesia, which is now called Zimbabwe. So I lived in those places during those years where the pressure continued to build. And I guess they figured Rhodesia would be the easiest, so in 1980 they knocked them off first.
Stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Taking your phone calls for Bob Chapman. There's so many questions, so many comments I have, and I want to go to the phone calls, but during this interview today, other things that are on your mind, other issues you think are important for people to be made aware of.
Well, I think we've covered the most important one of all, and that is possible war, a very widespread, very damaging war. As you said earlier, they're going to open borders up. They're going to do all kinds of things that the American public doesn't want, but yet they voted these people in. There's going to be a lot of consternation. Unemployment is really rising. Yes, inflation's backed off a little bit, but that's for a few months. It's going to go higher again. We're going to have stagnation and inflation at the same time, which is called stagflation. And this is going to go on for a long time, and the inflation is going to get worse, and the unemployment's going to get worse. And as that evolves, they expect that they're going to be able to start a war. Who knows where it's all going to end up.
But strap yourselves in.
Strap yourself in.
But the globalists could never really have a horrible police state here before and really go through all the motions, because we still had good police, good military, basic values. You watch shows like Knight Rider and the rest of them, and it's all about the militia is going to nuke the dam, the constitutionalist or the terrorist. And I guess cops watching TV think that's reality. I mean, if anybody who had a brain would go, my God, we've got evil government, evil Hollywood, selling us the image that the American people are bad. I mean, can't people see they're setting us up for total evil? I mean, couldn't an average cop watch that and go, man, we've got a really bad government?
Well, I think you're right, and that is their take on it, but I don't think that's true with the military. I think the military realizes the difference between right and wrong, and it's wrong to shoot your own citizens.
Well, that's the good news. Admiral Fallon, head of CENTCOM, resigned and refused to launch the attack on Iran, so isn't that an ace in the hole that...
Well, there's an awful lot of people out there who are ex and active military who think exactly the way we do. Believe me. And I do one program that's pointed all toward military, and you would be amazed at the information that comes in. It's just incredible. I tell you everything that's going on out there.
All right, I want to go to some calls. In fact, later, if military or police can get in, I mean, are you going to confiscate our guns? I've asked Austin cops, and they've said, yeah, if we're ordered to, we will. Just like in that news piece in New Orleans where the troops say, well, we don't like confiscating guns and shooting Americans, but we've been ordered to.
Yeah, well, they may as well make out their wills, because this time around, they're not going to go home.
Don't they know that's high treason? Don't they understand the government's criminal?
I think they do. It's all the job. You know, like at the Nuremberg trials. Well, you know, that, I was ordered to do that. I mean, there's a classic case of the police chief of Hamburg, the best in Germany. After the elections in 1932, Hitler called him and said, look, I know you hate me, but you're the best cop in the country. I want you to stay on the job. Just don't bother me too much, but do your job. So the guy says, okay. So with the Nuremberg war crimes trial, I say, well, you know, you shipped all of those people off to concentration camps, and you did this, that, and the other thing you shouldn't have done. And the guy says, well, all I was doing was following the law. You're going to get the same thing today. The only thing in America is we have weapons, and they didn't.
Rico in Toronto, you're on the air with Bob Chapman.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Question for you, Bob. Do you still recommend the Swiss bonds as something to at least hold your money?
For those who don't want to be in gold and silver related assets or have too, what they feel is too much of their assets in gold and silver, then that isn't the only alternative that I can see. I think it is the best of a lot of bad currencies. But if you got to be somewhere, I think that's the place to be.
Okay. And my second question or point, like to Alex, it would be really interesting. Did you ever think to get Farrakhan on to maybe debate or to discuss?
We have tried to get Farrakhan on.
Okay. Never any response?
They've said things like he's not doing interviews right now.
Okay. And my last point on what which we're saying before, I mean, it's always the same thing. Like, I read this book before called Crime and Privilege by Barry Kreisberg. Have you ever read it, Alex?
No.
No? Okay. Well, basically, this talks about that the people in power, the people with money, they knew how they got their power, which was through the sword, when they became the royalty, and raping and pillaging through the countryside. And they were always afraid of the public, because they knew that one day the public could come for their money, because they knew how they got their money. So what they did is they got the actual police force, like this is like the mid-century, they got the police force out of the jails. That's what they picked the people who would enforce.
No, exactly.
Law.
They always hire criminals or criminal psychological profiles, and now they openly, for the military and police, hire felons.
Correct.
So that's what Stalin did. Hitler did it. Hitler's SA was mainly that brought him to power were criminals.
Correct. It's always the same thing, because they know they will enforce their laws. With no problems.
And now they've got all this PR about how good they are and how wonderful they are. And the government is run by a pack of criminals. And then you got a few in the system who aren't criminals, but the system itself's criminal.
All you need to do is look at history. They put all these institutions in place so they have the control over the people. That's all it is. It's always the same thing.
Exactly.
Never changes. So,
well, it changes when people stand up. And if a population doesn't greedily guard their liberty and aggressively stand up, they get enslaved.
Well, that's the institution that you have to fear the most, is the government.
But now they teach police, and I have the training videos, and anybody that says that is a terrorist. That's what the founding fathers and what was taught in school and what is true. But now the cops are told that that's evil. Government is God and is everything. I appreciate your call. Good points, huh, Bob?
They sure are.
Christy in New York, you're on the air.
Alex?
Yes.
Skull! Listen, I just like to say that if John McCain had been elected and tried to institute the draft, that there would be all kinds of demonstrations, student protests, riots, and it wouldn't go over. But if Barack Obama made an impassioned plea, just like George W. did for the bailout, but to the people, the young, the youth groups.
Exactly. Oh, we're going to do it.
And
it's a holy war for Lord Obama.
We need you now to bear arms for our country. They would line up, sign up, and re-enlist. And unfortunately, as this goes right in with what Bob was saying, and it this is the way we can block. We can stop them. We as a people have a choice in this. We don't have to go along with this. They hit us with all these other things, 9/11 and all this other stuff. What they want to do is depopulate, and what better way than this? And if we, as the American people, clutch our Bibles and our guns, then they're going to have a problem getting that draft back in. And if we move now, and if we take action, and I'll tell you another thing, all this fear stuff is going to do nothing except get us killed. We have to be strong. We have to be centered in our prayer and our families. And we have to understand that this is what we need to do now.
And we have to be committed. But I agree. Preemptively expose they're going to stage wars. Preemptively expose that it's the same agenda under Obama that it was under Bush. And the people are seeing it, though. I mean, Bob Chapman, record gun sales nationwide, breaking all records, and it's only intensifying. They are buying guns and ammo off the shelves, Bob.
That's right, and I reported on tomorrow's issue. And the availability, once stock is out, is, you know, a month to 2 months away. It's just a wipeout. One store had 5,000 weapons available, AR-15s. They had 10 left, and the writer who wrote to me said he got two of them. Obviously, people are very concerned about what Obama's going to do, and also they're very concerned about gun control. I got a piece in there, a link to the to Bear Arms group, and you'll see what they have to say about it. You can get a free introductory copy to this thing, the International Forecaster, so don't hesitate.
Absolutely. Get that copy coming out tomorrow. We'll tell folks how to get it. But even the New York Times admitted, you know, it was Mainline Houston, biggest gun shop, and they said, we know he's coming with domestic Stasi police, you know, basic FEMA camp stuff. I mean, when the main line is saying, we know they're coming with the Stasi, the word's out, Bob.
Well, if they try it, they're going to be met with force. And again, as I said earlier, I would not want to be in law enforcement, because if you go after the public, you're not going home to your family. It's over.
You ought to see all these new SWAT guys. The feds are paying to radically expand all the police departments, paramilitary, snatching bag.
Listen, we were trained just as well as they are today.
No, I know. The point I'm making is you see these young guys, they just love it. They've got these women and children they can feed on. They feel powerful. They feel big. Oh, yeah, but they have no idea. All right. Thank you, Christy. Thomas, Justin, Kevin, and Reptoid Planet Pop-Tart. Monday through Friday, 11 to 3 Central Standard Time, we defend the Republic, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. We stand with the people and the Republic against the hosts, the hordes of the New World Order. And we shall never surrender. Bob Chapman is our guest for this final segment. But I'll continue to take your calls and cover all the important news. Before we go to Thomas, Justin, Kevin, Reptoid from Planet Pop-Tart, I'm not kidding, callers, you can have whatever name you like. Not very original, though. That was a joke I made about a year ago. I got to remember to keep my sense of humor, folks. I get too focused, too serious, and then I just burn myself out. All right, Bob, before we go take a few final calls here in the short segment, it's always great to have you on with us. People can go to theinternationalforecaster.com, get a free email copy that goes out twice a week of your award-winning giant newsletter, or they can call a toll-free number, get a free complimentary copy. So give out that toll-free number.
That is 877-996. No, that's incorrect. 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. And you get a free introductory copy.
Absolutely.
Either by mail or by email.
Or they can also, again, go to theinternationalforecaster.com. Let's go ahead and go to Thomas in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Alex. Hi. Hi, Bob. I wanted to thank you first for all the great information you put out there. Thank you for your show. And I wanted to come back to Rahm Emanuel. And I don't know, I've seen the article you put up on Prison Planet. You didn't mention the, just curious if you saw it, the quote by his father responding to his nomination as a White House Chief of Staff. And, you know, asking if, you know, he was an Arab and saying he wasn't going to, you know, sweep the floors of the White House. And, you know, we have this new inquisition right now, basically, telling us that, you know, if we don't like Obama, we have to be, you know, closet racist. And this is the man that we have as Chief of Staff.
His father made a racist statement towards Arabs and said, my son isn't going to sweep the White House?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, when I saw it, I was just baffled.
Where did he say that?
That's in the Jerusalem Post. It's November 6th, so that's yesterday, I guess.
What's the headline?
And, yeah, it's just amazing.
But I mean, what is the point? What is the point? It's like Gene Simmons. I saw a clip of him on his TV show saying that Gentiles are to fix his car and that we're scum. I mean, why act like that?
You tell me. What bothers me is you have so many people that totally buy into this stuff. People that I used to have civil conversations with, you know, friends and acquaintances, and all of a sudden they're all turning. You know, if you don't like Obama, you know, you must be racist somehow. You know, and there's,
why would his father, who was a head terrorist, and of course Emmanuel's Mossad running the White House openly, along with the head of the Homeland Security and the Attorney General, all admitted Mossad. I mean, I understand it's normal to have a foreign country run your nation. I'm being sarcastic, but it's horrible. But I mean, why make a bizarre statement like that? I mean, like it's not good enough for his son to run the country.
Being out in the open. They don't care. I mean, they're openly announcing that, you know.
Yeah, but what does that statement mean, that my son's not an Arab? He's not going to be sweeping the White House. I mean, that's like a really vicious attack on Arabs.
Oh yeah. That means we're going to be beating on Arabs.
You got to understand that man's background. You know, he was in the Irgun, and his specialty was blowing up different buildings with people inside of them. And they were either Arabs inside of them or British. I mean, these people were bloodthirsty Trotskyites.
That's right. They took over Russia, and then Stalin kicked them out, and they came over here. And it's a particular, it's horrible. Oh God. Well, I mean, you know, I guess hail Israel, and I think it's totally normal for Israel to run the White House, and that's the end of it. Right, Bob?
Right. They can do what they want, and as far as I'm concerned, the Zionists are just another group of Nazis.
Well, actually, the Zionists actually funded Hitler, and they said don't, and they did a deal to not let any Jews out of Germany unless they paid them $1 million, and that was in that day, like $50 million, to go to Palestine. So nobody that couldn't pay to get out, then they didn't get out, did they, Bob?
No, and they also Hitler also made a plan for Madagascar as well. And I lived in Germany for a number of years, and I'm fluent. And so you learn a lot of things you wouldn't otherwise. Plus, having been in counterintelligence, I was hooked up with a lot of people who were in the Abwehr, generals who were in the Wehrmacht as well as the SS. So I learned lots of things that people don't normally learn.
Well, Bob, we're going to have you back to talk about that. Hold on. Day after day.
Day after day.
Alone on a hill.
Alone on a hill. man with a foolish grin is keeping perfectly still. But nobody wants to know him. They can see that he's just a fool. And he never gives an answer. But the fool on the hill sees the sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And Dr. Paul Craig Roberts hadn't been on this in about 3 weeks, and I want to get his take on the election. He was the former editor of the Wall Street Journal, associate editor. He was former deputy, the number two at the Department of Treasury, had a policy for Reagan. And Obama is really saying he's pro-New World Order right now, pro-globalist. He says he's appointed a chief of staff, is the number one gun grabber in the country. It makes Sarah Brady look like an angel cake. Record gun sales, that's all going on. They swear total carbon taxes, bankrupting the coal industry. They're going to implement it. Mayor Bloomberg already is saying a huge tax on all plastic bags, taxes on cars all over the country. I mean, if you think we're bankrupt now, just wait. Remember, the third world countries, they don't have to make carbon cuts. It's only us, so the factories will leave. I mean, the job is bankrupting us. The job is getting us into repossession. The job is getting us under their control and not self-sufficient. So it's just amazing. Steve Shank has been in the storable foods business for 28 years. And he's the owner of the J. Michael Stevens Group, eFoodsDirect.com. But I've got him on today for an extended half hour instead of 15 minutes, like he joins us every few weeks, because I really want to get into, I saw a report this week that wheat was four times what it normally is. And, you know, they're talking about massive hyperinflation kicking in and wars and all of this. Regardless, I want to hear somebody who's a mass food preparer, mass food, you know, distribution hub. I mean, it's a big company. Really, what's going on behind the scenes? And I've also heard him on ads on Genesis, and I want to get his political perspective because he's been right about a lot of things in the past. Talking about not even being able to ship food. Never heard him talk like that after the inauguration. And I want to be clear on that because, I mean, I hope things don't get that bad that quick. If there's a 10% chance of bad things happening, we should have storable foods and firearms and be prepared. Yeah, guns by themselves, folks, aren't worth that much. You need food, unless you're planning to rob people. You need guns to defend the food. You know, the media is really upset by this mass arming going on, and they're upset by people getting storable food because they want us under their control. They want to be able to bankrupt us and send the army in as we starve to death. They love it. And so I want to bring up Steve Shank. Steve, good to have you here with us.
Hey, it's great to be aboard, Alex. As usual, you're doing the job, man.
Now, specifically, what are you hearing that's got you so worried about inauguration?
Well, very simply, what they're saying, we have world leaders that are cheering the election, and we have world leaders that are in lockstep with Mr. Biden when he said, "Mark my words, there will be a generated crisis shortly after the election that will challenge our new president, just like they challenged John Kennedy." Now, we've got all of the saber rattlers all over the world pointing at nuclear stuff. And what was the Kennedy challenge? It was nuclear, and he backed them down. And I don't think that they're going to bring that issue to the fore unless and make that analogy between Kennedy and Obama unless there's some meat to it. But
hold on. Let's be specific. The Cuban Missile Crisis, early 1960s, the blockade of the missiles and the launchers coming in on the Russian ships. And then that's what Bob Chapman said last hour, the international forecaster, or the last segment. He said exactly that. He said his intel, they're being pretty obvious, Powell and others, is that it will be a blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, shutting off oil, which is an act of war against them. They don't have nukes. They're not close to nukes, so it's a fake crisis. And then that will escalate things in a big way. So, Steve, independently, I just want to read this. Mullen, military is ready to respond to transition terror attack. And they're saying the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said Wednesday the United States is vulnerable to attack and other incidents during the presidential transition period, and the military is ready to respond. So they're acting like somebody's going to attack us, getting everybody ready for it, when clearly it's going to be them staging the attack, Steve.
Well, very simply, when Mr. Colin Powell and Madeleine Albright, who is, well, historically someone to be reckoned with in these realms, and Mr. Biden all make the statement that shortly after the inauguration, there will be an incident regarding which the new president will be forced to make some unpopular decisions. One of the things about the Patriot Act is the fact that if there is an incident, it will be required to take over control of distribution of clothing, medical supplies, and food, and this is one of the things that we are concerned with. Now, we've had a lot of people that were concerned about getting their food supplies in prior to the election, and one of the things that one of the statements that I tried to get out to them is, don't be concerned about the election, be more concerned about the inauguration, just because of these predictions that insiders have made that there's going to be something significant happening. I'm not saying it's going to be affecting the food, but so far in my thinking, you know, my staff, Alex, refers to me as the one-trick pony. I bring everything back to food, but I got to tell you, it is the only target that I am seeing in the crosshairs of the present administration. For example, you were mentioning just before you brought me on that the coal fuel power plant industry is virtually going to be bankrupt because of all of the greenhouse gas emission taxes and levies and things like that that were put on it. It was a flat-out statement. But what a lot of people aren't aware of is that there are several statements. There's a YouTube issue up, and there's also several articles quoting Mr. Obama, where he says that the farm industry has been adjudged by their organization or their staff to actually be more severe in their greenhouse emissions than the entire transportation industry. So if the levies and fines are going to go against coal fuel because of the greenhouse effect, then the farmers are actually being singled out as being more dangerous with regard to these emissions than the entire transportation industry. What that means is those same fines and levies will go against the farmers, and unless they are complying with the announced mandate to increase by two-thirds the mandate to use our livestock feed and our food to create ethanol, those farmers will be levied right out of business along with the coal plants. I mean, the handwriting's on the wall. The intent has been stated. Food is, in fact, the issue. Now, with the credit crunch, you put that together, farmers, we're getting emails all the time, Alex, from farmers and suppliers. The farmers have, some of them in areas where they haven't been hit by the flood and everything like that, are having bumper crops. They can't sell their crops because the people, the wholesalers that would normally buy them, the processors that would normally buy them, can't get credit from the banks to buy the farmers' crops. The farmers can't get credit to buy the seed, and so foreign countries are coming in, giving the farmers seeds under the condition that they sell their crops to the foreign countries. So even the bumper crops that we do have in some areas oftentimes are being sold out of the country because the farmers can't get loans to buy the seed, to pay for the fuel, to put the crops in. And then we have the farmers that aren't able to get the loans to pay for the fuel in order to harvest the crops. Then the next step down is the suppliers can't get loans. To wholesalers can't get the loans to buy the food, and the shippers can't get loans to transport import the food, and the grocery stores can't get loans to stock the shelves. That's why grocery stores are cutting back on variety and only stocking the things that they can afford that are cheap. And so it's just going on and on and on. So obviously, food is the target, Alex, and it's getting more. Some of the things that are happening right now, even I didn't expect. I did not expect them to come up with the emissions idea, this greenhouse effect, and I know all of your listeners realize that this global warming is a pure fabrication, but the fact is that I did not expect them to come up with the concept that the farmers are creating greater greenhouse effect as a result of their planting and harvesting crops.
Oh yeah, they're going to tax and regulate
industry.
They're going to tax, they're going to tax and regulate and shut basically everything down. I just went to change.gov, the Obama's new transition website, to whitehouse.gov, and I'm reading it, and it's got a link at the top, America Serves. And it says, the Obama administration will call on Americans to serve in order to meet the nation's challenges. President-elect Obama will expand national service programs like AmeriCorps, Peace Corps, and will create a new classroom corps with the teachers and children, as well as a new health corps, clean energy corps, and veterans corps. Obama will call on citizens of all ages to serve America by developing a plan to require 50 hours of community service in middle schools and high schools, 100 hours of community service in college every year. This is national draft. Obama will encourage retiring Americans to serve by improving available for individuals 55, and it goes on and on. And they admit it's going to be armed spy groups, everything. And the reason I throw this in New Orleans and other areas, they shut the food off on purpose, wouldn't let Walmart or the National Guard even bring the food in. They, you know, they made them come to the Superdome. They wouldn't let you out of the city. That is one of their weapons of control. And, folks, they're not joking. Rahm Emanuel, the new chief of staff, is the head gun grabber in the country, and he says he's coming after our guns. I mean, I just can't. This is like, and they're saying they're governors everywhere, mayors everywhere are announcing Schwarzenegger and Bloomberg are announcing all these new taxes on us. I mean, they are trying to crush us, Steve.
I know, and what you and I have been talking all along, Alex, is about this issue of the only way that families can become independent or have any hope of maintaining any modicum of liberty and freedom is if they are self-reliant and never have to rely on anybody to feed them. And the main thing that has to happen, every once in a while I get an email that you and I are trying to fearmonger in order to sell food. Alex, every morsel of food that eFoods Direct can get their hands on will go to families. It's not a matter of needing to sell. We just need to get people. We need to get as many people fed as soon as possible. And one of the things that I needed the extra time today to announce is that we've come up again this year with a holiday unit, which is $100 less expensive. It's a one-year supply for one adult, but it's $100 less expensive than last year's holiday unit. And your listeners practically covered us up last year. But this year, they've got to get food in no matter what. And the way you find out about it is get up on eFoodsDirect.com. We're just posting the new unit. It's going to be $1,295. It's cheaper than anything else that's been out there, and it's got more food than last year's holiday unit. Folks, this is not the time to buy Chinese toys for your kids. The best investment you can make is in life itself, and the fact is that with what we've got coming, Alex, there is absolutely no question in my mind. You know, you and I kind of laugh about the fact that I'm kind of a one-trick pony. I keep talking about the same thing. And all of the things that we've talked about when we've made predictions of what was happening, this isn't prophetic. It's just the fact that we're sitting at the supply end of the food chain, and we see what's happening to our suppliers. And the fact is that the farmers are now starting to respond and send emails into eFoods Direct saying, hey, let people know what's happening. We can't harvest the crops even if we've got good ones. And
the farmers
that are going to be taxed out of their minds with this greenhouse thing won't be able to feed. They will not be able to grow our food because of the taxes, but they will be given tax-free status if they will shift all of their production from your food over into ethanol production.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my issue is this. That's a cop-out. Number one, we're allowed to have sponsors here. Number one, you're the longest continually operating storable food company in the nation. Number three, the government stores food and weapons and water in giant facilities and underground bases and warehouses, and they tell us we're kooks if we do. If there's a 10% chance of depression, if there's a 10% chance of war, if there's a 10% chance of insurrection and warfare, then people should be prepared. If there was none of this on the horizon, people should have canned foods and storable foods for at least 6 months. That's a cop-out. Everything I've talked about, the FEMA camps, the world banking structure they're announcing where they create the crisis and then they offer the world banking solution where you buy your greenhouse credits from them. It's all happening. Now, I don't know if their program or plan is going to stall out. We're fighting to do that. We're trying to mobilize the people as best we can. They're finally really paying attention, and that gives me some, makes me take heart. Because, we've talked about all this happening. Now it's happening. Our credibility just keeps rising. So let those that want to live in denial live in denial. And then if we avert all this happening, thank God we did our job. But regardless, yes, people need to get prepared. And that's why when I went out to find a storable food sponsor, because I believe in this, we got you because you're the best out there and you've who I've gotten storable foods for going back about 8-9 years. And they last more than 10 years in climate control, 10 years if it's out in your garage or attic. And like Steve says, if you're not going to get prepared with him, get prepared somewhere. And buy the firearms, buy the food, and be prepared to use them, folks, to defend your family. This isn't a game. This isn't fun for me to get up here on air. Steve, before we go to break and come back and cover more of what you're seeing on the supply end, give people the toll-free number.
It's 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633, and that will get some information to those of you that aren't computer literate, and those of you who are on the computer, get on efoodsdirect.com, and the new unit will be up there, and get going for Christmas. This is unbelievable quantity of food and best pricing, but the fact is, just get your family fed for Pete's sake.
1-800-409-5633, 1-800-409-5633, or efoodsdirect.com. The government's trying to cover their tail, Steve. They keep having billboards for the last 6-7 years. Oh, get a little food. Get a week of food. Get a week of water. That's not going to do anything in a real disaster, is it, Steve?
No, it's called a degree of denial. It's so that the media and everyone can say, we told you, but the fact is that they don't tell you enough.
Yeah, it's covering their butt.
Exactly.
All right, Steve Shanks, our guest, efoodsdirect.com. Huge banners at the top of Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com if you forget it while you're out driving around. You ought to hear our discussions behind the scenes. Steve Shanks talked about the television using hypnotic programming. Even Bev Harris picked up on it with Obama, and she's an Obama supporter. I can't watch TV now. I catch myself being mesmerized, and it's admitted they're doing it at the industry level, and the public just giggles and laughs. Steve has friends that are in the gun business. They've never seen business like this, but mainstream news says it's record. Everybody's selling out. So folks are finally starting to wake up to what we're facing. Steve, continue.
Well, the main thing that we're dealing with, Alex, is that we have a situation, for example, some folks wonder at the fact that we've kind of put a date on things with Mr. Colin Powell's statement. We are not putting a date on anything, folks. We're not telling you something is going to happen. We're just telling you what these people are saying. And if you've got this Madeleine Albright, and you've got Joe Biden, and you've got Colin Powell at the point where he switched political parties and denied his allegiance to the military by going over to the Democratic Party in an interview on national television, He says that there will be a generated crisis somewhere, you know, a crisis that'll come along on the 21st or 22nd. We're not saying that, folks. All we're saying is if all of these people who are in the know are telling us there's something that's going to happen that we don't know about yet.
We have a responsibility to take it serious and get prepared. And people, I mean, I got like 3-4 years supply from our whole family. I believe this stuff. And all I'm telling you is if nothing bad happens, great. You were prepared. This is like basic insurance. I mean, look at this. This is the Washington Times. And I see the military every day now saying, we're going to be hit by terrorists. We're going to be attacked. There's something big. We can't tell you what it is. Military is ready to respond to transition terror attack. Like somebody would attack the U.S. to get attacked. No, the globalists will stage another terror attack so they have an excuse to attack more countries. I mean, this is, and to make Obama God. And now he's talking about, he's saying it again. On his presidential site, all these brigades of tattletale squads. I mean, God help us. And there are so many zombies. See, Bush didn't have all this support. He was evil, but he didn't have all this support. Obama has, and you talked about the subliminals. You're seeing it too. Steve Shank?
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of subliminal stuff that's supposed to be illegal going on. If you look at all the positioning, if you look at the constant repeat, if you get into hypnosis, one of the things that happens is they have something 7 ±2, which means that you confuse the mind, hit it with enough variables that are shocking, and then you slap them on the forehead, and they go into a trance.
The trigger.
What have we had with the stock market going up and down, with the housing market, job loss, 35, it's now up to 40% of the population right now when they go to the grocery store, Alex, are making a decision as to whether they can afford to buy food or pay other necessary expenses.
Yeah, we're going into a catatonic state while the authorities tell us the economy's great. We're not even in a recession. Folks, give the J. Michael Stevens Group a call. Get a free brochure. Find out more. Get their boogie packs. And they've got stoves, water filters, a whole line of great products at incredibly low prices. And again, we just hope that you get ready. We hope that you get prepared. 1-800-409-5633. 1-800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. In closing, Steve, I wish we didn't have to worry about this stuff, but it's they're certainly getting us ready for something.
I would love to be wrong in everything I said to you, Alex. I really would.
I would too, Steve, but we'll see. If we get the word out enough and expose them as terrorists and criminals, then maybe they'll back off and things will be okay, but we'll see. But again, the gun dealers are selling out of firearms. Steve Shank, thanks for coming on with us.
Take care, Alex.
You bet. Let me say bye to you off there. eFoodsDirect.com. They're having brainwashing drills of taking over schools, and they'll use a shootout across town to shut down half the schools and tell the kids terrorists are coming to get them. It's all part of re-education, brainwashing. LCR Power Plant hosts emergency drill today. Emergency response teams from Bastrop, Travis County, Hays County participating in the annual exercise designed to simulate disaster scenario that require the Regional Chemical, Biological, Radiological, Nuclear, and Explosives Task Force. That means U.S. Army will be there to coordinate response. That's the cover for the military taking over. Everybody's calling in asking about Obama's new government transition website. It's change.gov. And the thing about the American Stasi Corps is in the top navigation bar, just read it. I mean, I have to like spoon feed people who are at the office now where stuff is. Just look at the links right at the top. America serves. America serves right there. Or just say it doesn't exist. Everything's fine. I got a lot of callers here. We got Dr. Paul Kirk Roberts coming up in the next segment. I want to go to all your calls, but I was telling you I have a 9/11 first responder. What does he want to call himself? What's his name, John? So he's John. It says 911 detective, whatever that means, because I wanted police and military to call in about the open announcement of camps, the open announcement of secret arrests, the open announcement of Stasi forces. They're not just gearing up. They're doing it. So I appreciate you calling in, John. What's on your mind?
Hi, Alex. Long-time listener, very much behind what you are trying to accomplish here. It's just a twofold thing that I just wanted to ask you. I mean, I'm a 9/11 first responder. Actually, my badge number was 9/11 on 9/11. I don't know if that actually means anything, but you got to, me personally, because I've tried to turn all the cops on to you, but every time they listen, it's this, we're all a bunch of black boots type of guys.
No, you're right. I've said over and over again that I don't try to win people over through being friendly, and I'm like that in everything, and it's not as effective as I could be. But I hear about all these stories about cops arresting people for 9/11 videos, or I got cops on video coming up saying your video camera is a gun, you threatened me with a gun, and laughing. And I always say it's not all the cops. I'm saying it's the jackboot element. And believe me,
all right. We call them tackleberries. You ever see Police Academy Tackleberry?
Yes.
We have them on the department. There's no doubt about it. You know, they're knuckleheads. They, you know, they're goofy. There's no doubt about that. But they're not, you know, they're not bad people. And to tell you the truth, most cops that you deal with, now I'm not even like a real pro cop type of guy. I don't carry my gun off duty. You know, I don't walk around with the JCPD, Jersey City Police Department, shirts on and all that stuff. I mean, that's goofy. But at the end of the day, these are good men going to work. And we're not just going to let people just come in and do this, Alex.
Well, they're sure trying.
I mean, yeah, they're going to, yeah, absolutely. I'm on board with everything that you
told me. Let me just
about.
Tell you something. You I get, sort of listen, I'll be at Bilderberg covering it, and I got people calling up threatening to kill me and my family. So you start flipping out, okay? And so I start seeing the whole government as my enemy. I understand it's not everybody in the government. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I've had Austin cops walk up and say, you're not allowed to stand on the street corner and talk to people. You know, and I'm sick of it.
I would be the first one to say, listen, everything that you're saying is 100% correct. But when you're trying to, when you have law enforcement trying to turn people on to what you're speaking to, and then, I mean, I'm just speaking from my standpoint. I'm trying to turn people on, and every time they turn on, they're like, you know, they're referring to us as like, you know, we're like a whole bunch of hooded black boot crouch.
Well, you're not wearing the black boot outfit. I mean, you're not
the pretty much the way.
Yeah, but you're not the you're not the special weapons attack team. I mean, I'm talking about these cops in the Denver Post. They admit, and I was there, who were out there starting fights so they could attack the peaceful protesters. What about them? Yeah, your phone's cutting out. Are you there? Yes, sir. You're listening to your radio. Don't hang up. Dr. Roberts is coming up, but I'm going to come back and let you finish up. Yeah, no, I didn't hang up on you, sir. Yes, I know it's ineffective. I can't help it. See, I don't put on an act here. I just tell you what I really think.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former editor at the Wall Street Journal, best-selling author, head of policy, Department of Treasury, under Ronald Reagan, is going to be joining us in about 2 minutes. I wanted to go back to John in New Jersey, a 9/11 detective. He sponsored Richard Gage, architect and engineer. Now I remember hearing about him. To come in and speak, and he's asking, why do you call us jackboot thugs? He's asking, we're now live at prisonplanet.tv. I forgot to turn the lights on in here for the camera. He's asking, why do you say that? I'm talking about a government that's building FEMA camps and admitting it in the newspaper. I'm talking about a government that's saying they're going to have youth brigades and tattletale corps. I'm talking about a government under social engineering control that is turning America into a police state and throwing the Bill of Rights out the window in non-terror-related cases. And so the system, we're saying, is jackbooted. And I mean, in Austin every day, police take kids from homes without warrants, without indictments, without due process. And they go, well, I'm just following orders. And I've had Austin cops walk up and say, turn your camera off or stop talking on a street corner, you're not allowed to. And I go, but Austin's lost hundreds of lawsuits for this. And they say, we don't care. Turn your camera off. Get off the street. So that's who I'm talking about. And that's what I'm discussing. So, yes, I need to differentiate better. But the way the police have been organized, the way they're being trained, what's happening in this country, I mean, it's an us-against-them mentality. They say it's an us against them. And I know there are a lot of good police, and I know that I don't handle it right when I blanket just spew things. But, I mean, I'm freaked out, folks. You know, I'm straight-laced good guy, and I've had all sorts of stuff done to me by the police. Now, I've had the Austin police chief in here, and he claims he's a fan of the show, and I know people that know him privately that he didn't know me, and he talks about me at dinner parties and at radio stations behind the scenes and does an Alex Jones imitation. I understand that cops are just normal people, but I'm telling you, the cops and the firemen witnessed them take the black boxes off the pile. The cops, see all this evil going on. And I'm tired of hearing we're just doing our job. And now it's all coming to a head. The foreign banks are looting the country. But finishing up with what you were saying, John.
I mean, Alex, the way I'm seeing it, I had a mandatory evidence collection class sponsored by the state troopers, the New Jersey state troopers. And it was given by, I guess you can Google it. His name is Jerry Lewis. And the opening salvo to the class was, I believe it was the Luftwaffe interrogator, the head interrogator. And I think Hans Schropp, I think that was the name, but he gives the opening salvo. It was a two-week class. Now, I'm the only one sitting in the class going, what is... And he was like a fan. It was like it wasn't okay. Well, we appreciate the technique. It was like I'm a fan of the guy. Now, what? Are we becoming fans of interrogators that got shot down? Pilots got shot down after they survived that, but because he never put a hand on him. And this is the kind of thing that you speak to. And I picked up on that right away. My lieutenant told me, "Listen, just get out the door. Just go out and have a smoke. Do whatever you got to do." You know what I mean?
So he's telling you how great the Nazi interrogators are. Well, listen, I'd like to get you on as a guest sometime on the show. Okay, John?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I appreciate it. I've just had police do so much horrible stuff to me. I grew up in Rockwall, Texas, where the police and the sheriff's department delivered the cocaine, the heroin, the marijuana. And I was never into drugs, but I lived in an upper-class neighborhood, upper-middle-class neighborhood, and witnessed the police delivering drugs, and then I'd see the same cops doing drug raids at the school. And I mentioned to them, hey, I was one time at a party and saw one of you guys delivering drugs there, and they said, we're going to kill you and your family, and we had to move out of that area of Dallas. So, my dad had one of the local lawyers call him and say, you need to get out of here, or your son's going to be hung in a jail cell. And then later, the sheriff, Jack McCorder, went to prison for flying heroin and cocaine and marijuana into the Rockwall Airport. But listen, I got Dr. Roberts holding. I'm going to get into that. Point is, I can tell you a million stories. It's in the Denver Post that cops provocateur. Now, we told you that in Denver. Cops dress up. They go hit innocent people. The news cameras catch it, and they use that to then demonize the crowds. Now, we also got reports of Marines dressed up doing that. And we've caught them all. I mean, that's organized crime. Dr. Roberts, how do you explain this to people? Because you call it jackboot thugism. We're talking about the system, aren't we? We're not saying every cop is a jackbooter. I mean, can you answer his question? Because he says he sends cops to the show, and then it turns them off when I'm talking about that.
Right. Tyranny turns normal people into thugs. That's what it does. It gives orders, and then you either follow them or you're out of a job. Or they turn on you, and you become the victim. So that's the problem for decent people who serve the state when it turns toward tyranny. And as you know, and pointed out so well, it doesn't happen all at once. It goes step by step. But as you turn to tyranny, it destroys the character of people because they have to serve it or go down.
It's a slow seduction.
It's a slow seduction. Many people won't see it or won't see it until very late. Others will fool themselves. Others will say, Well, to have a good opinion of what I'm doing, I have to believe the propaganda that these people we are brutalizing really are enemies. They really are terrorists. The demonstrators are unpatriotic and anti-American. And so a lot of people just have to believe that. They believe, they come to terms with propaganda in order to continue in the job. You know, this happens wherever there's tyranny.
You had hoped that Barack Obama, Dr. Roberts, would do some of the things he said 8-9 months ago. Now we're calling him neocon Obama. Who he's appointing, what he's doing, what he's saying. The carbon tax alone will destroy the country. Record gun sales, though.
Well, you know, he had to be elected because the Republicans, it's the only way to hold the Republicans accountable. I mean, we can't simply let the Republicans escape accountability for their crimes against the Constitution and human rights, for their violations of U.S. and international laws, for their lies and deceptions and all their financial crookedness. We can't just reelect them and say, well, you know, we forgive you for all those crimes and concentration camps and police state and all the rest. So he had to be elected because it's the only way the people can hold him, can hold the Republicans accountable.
But the establishment...
And that's the only reason I ever supported the Democrats or Obama. You know, it's Pravda to put it after the election. An editorial in Pravda, the Russian newspaper, the old Soviet newspaper. Here's what they said. Only Satan would have been worse than the Bush regime. Therefore, it could be argued that the new administration in the USA could never be worse than the one which divorced the hearts and minds of Americans from their brothers in the international community, which appalled the rest of the world with shock and awe tactics that included concentration camps, torture, mass murder, and utter disrespect for international law. Well, that... If we didn't hold the Republicans accountable for that, what would the world think of us?
No, I understand. But now Obama has shown that he's going to kick it into high gear.
Well, I'm not surprised. You can't, you know, Obama is a showman. And his victory speech was magnificent. And the cameras panning all the, scanning the faces and the audience, you could see the hope and the belief in people's faces that propelled him to the presidency. But he can't bring change to Washington. Who can he appoint? There's nobody in the Washington crowd capable of bringing change. It's the same crowd. You know, we'll have all the Clinton retreads will be there. The people who bombed Serbia and committed war crimes in Serbia, Robert Rubin, the Clinton Secretary of the Treasury, who got Glass-Steagall repeal and is responsible as much as anybody for the current financial crisis.
Yes.
Holbrooke, Dennis Ross, these are all the criminals of the Clinton administration. They'll now simply be recycled in the government. And even if Obama knew anyone capable of helping him bring change, he wouldn't be able to get them confirmed by the Senate.
Well, his $2 billion, his $2 billion.
Powerful interest groups would go in and block the appointment. So Washington, the only way you'll ever get change in Washington is a revolution. I think what's going to bring change is not the election of Obama. It's the fact that the United States has run out of money and run out of credibility.
Yep.
And has annoyed the world, and the world is organizing against us. We see the statements out of China, out of Russia, out of India, out of Brazil, out of Venezuela, out of Germany even, that they want a different kind of international community in which America isn't the ruler, it's just a member of the community.
All right, we're going to be right back, Dr. Roberts. We're going to be right back. We got two more segments with you today. And when we get back, I want to talk about Obama and some of the new policies he's pushing, because it's bad. But, John, now let's skip this break.
Okay.
Dr. Roberts.
He's there.
Dr. Roberts, for the internet audience, we're not on AM and FM. I want to keep talking here, so we're still on the radio. Yeah, look, I'm not attacking you saying, oh, you were saying maybe Obama's good. I mean, obviously.
No, I know that.
I mean, obviously, we couldn't, on paper, say, well, let's just go for John McCain because worldwide that would have been seen as a national endorsement of the neocons. But now they're bringing in the slicker neocons. I mean, people who are literally from the very, very same crowd. I mean, his new chief of staff alone is just an absolute nightmare. And so we have all of that going on. And then you talk about credibility. If McCain would have come in internationally and nationally, he would have had no credibility. And so now that he's in there, he has been able to... Yeah, exactly. He has been able to mesmerize, get more credibility internationally. Now he's saying, okay, we got some big event coming up, the 21st, 22nd. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get tough on Iran and Russia. Okay, we're going to do all these things. Okay, I'm going to appoint a bunch of Israelis and other people to my cabinet.
Right. Right. But they're not going to be able to get tough because they ain't got any money. And they got a bad recession. I mean, it's really going to be bad. So, what's this about guns? Ron Israel Emanuel wants to take our guns already, huh?
Well, you know, he was the guy that got the assault weapons ban passed in 94, and he spearheaded NAFTA. And, all over the news, the Handgun Control Inc. and others are saying, yes, we're going to push for, quote, sensible gun control. And sensible to them is banning all sorts of rifles, more registration, just a whole new raft of gun grabbing. And so now national gun sales have broken their all-time records, according to the New York Times.
It doesn't surprise me.
I mean, there are people in the New York Times saying, if I can pull the article up if you'd like, saying, you know, he wants a youth brigade. He wants a domestic Stasi. And then I went to change.gov, his new transition website, and it's in there. They say environmental brigades, brigades in the schools. It says turning the kids into, I mean, I can read it to you right now. His national service. We're going to have domestic spy forces, environmental enforcers. We're going to bankrupt the coal industry. We're going to have plastic bag taxes. I mean, they're coming.
Well, all that may be disappointed. I mean, you know, they've got their crazy groups just like we do. But at the moment, they got two wars, maybe two more, because they keep blowing up things in Pakistan, and now they've crossed Syria's border, and they're still going on about Iran and Georgia. They got no money. They got to either print it or borrow it. Nobody's going to lend it to them. They've got the highest unemployment in a long, long time, and it's not even measured accurately. Really, the unemployment rate now is, I would say, it's at least 15%, measured the way we measured it during the Reagan years. You see, Clinton stopped counting discouraged workers as unemployed.
All right, we're coming back to the full audience. Let's talk about that right now. Here we go.
All right.
His book is out in stores nationwide right now. It's The Tyranny of Good Intentions. And we're talking to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts today. Continuing with the discussion of the economy, as the former head of the Treasury, head of policy, where is the economy really right now versus the mainstream corporate press saying that we're not really in a recession yet and using all of this cooking of books? And then the added question, why were they more honest in the past about unemployment and recession and things? They still cooked it some. And then why do they just lie so much about that now? It would seem to me, reading Joseph Goebbels on propaganda, he said that sometimes too big a lie is too long. Once people know it's a lie, it discredits you, so it's better to tell some truth.
Well, what they did with the employment and inflation statistics is that over time, each administration monkeyed with it a little bit to make themselves look better, and any particular change didn't have much effect. But over, 30 years, they become cumulative and big effects, and the biggest things happened in the Clinton administration. Now, he did two things. One, he ceased debating, well, I can't say he, but the government during Clinton's administration ceased to count discouraged workers as unemployed. If you're not actively seeking for a job, you're not considered in the labor force, and therefore, if you're discouraged and said, well, I've been trying to get a job for 5 years and can't get one, and I'm just staying home, I'm giving up, they don't count you anymore. And what they did to inflation, they changed the way they measure it such that comparisons of pre-Clinton and post-Clinton aren't possible, because what Clinton did in order to cheat the Social Security recipients whose retirement checks were indexed to inflation, they wanted to hold down those payments, so they rigged the CPI to understate inflation. And one of the ways they did that was, for example, if the price of steak goes up in the index of all the weighted commodities in the basket of goods that they're measuring, price of steak goes up, it doesn't reflect anymore as inflationary. They simply assume people don't buy steak, they buy hamburger. So anytime the price of something goes up, they assume people switch to something, to a cheaper substitute. So the basket of goods is not constant, so you don't even know what you're measuring anymore.
And you were saying unemployment's really at about 15% right now?
John Williams, a statistician who measures the unemployment rate the way it was traditionally measured by government prior to these changes, has it at about 15%, and the inflation rate is around 14%. So already, these are terrible. This is a terrible situation. And, of course, since the inflation rate is so understated, in the one that the government uses now, it makes it look like you've got real gross domestic product growth. But John Williams points out that when you measure inflation the way, say, it was measured in the Reagan years, you don't have any. We've been in a recession since 2006. Because by understating the inflation, any kind of GDP growth looks real. But if you put the real measure inflation in there, there's no increase in real growth since 2006. So we've been in a recession for 2 years already.
Yeah, let's jump to another topic, and then we'll go back into the economy and where you see it going in the final segment coming up. What is this big, I'm asking all the experts we have on, what is this big international crisis at the head of the Navy and the head of the Army and Joe Biden and Colin Powell all say is coming on the 21st and 22nd, but they can't and won't tell us what it is, but they know. A lot of our experts are saying they're going to launch some type of embargo against Iran, or Israel's going to threaten to go ahead and attack, or may go ahead and attack. Some are saying, first we said it was off the table, but now it's back on the table. Or is it the new Bretton Woods dollar devaluation or new global currency? What are you hearing, sir?
Well, I don't know what exactly you're talking about, but supposedly on the 15th of November, there's supposed to be an international economic summit, because our European allies have demanded a change in the international financial...
All right, stay there, Dr. Roberts. Let's come back and talk about that on the other side. of this quick break with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Stay with us, InfoWars.com.
Took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns.
All right, final segment with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Appreciate him joining us today. Take some final phone calls at the end of the show. Cover some other news we haven't gotten to. I'm going to cover the economy a little bit after he leaves us. Here's Bill Gertz today, Washington Times. Mullen, military is ready to respond to transition terror attack. They believe Al-Qaeda or other countries. So you can read all his quotes here. It's up on InfoWars.com. We have a link saying we're going to probably have another September 11th attack. We're going to test our president. Biden says there's going to be something happen right when he gets inaugurated, and that it's going to test him, and that it's not going to be popular with Democrats. You heard about Colin Powell on Meet the Press, you know, 2 weeks ago, I'm sure, saying that, you know, if it was when he endorsed him, he said he will be tested when he's inaugurated, the 21st or 22nd, with an international crisis that's manufactured. You're a news hound. You haven't heard about those?
Well, I keep hearing these claims that he's going to be tested by terrorists, but I don't believe that at all. And if there is any new 9/11, I would be highly suspicious that the terrorists had any responsibility for it. So
you would think it would you would look at it being staged like 9/11?
I think any of these events will be staged. Yeah.
All right.
And I don't see the point of staging one, unless they're going to use it not to let him be inaugurated. But since his government won't really be much different from the one that's in office now, I don't know why they would care whether he's inaugurated or not. I mean, it's the same. It's going to be the same crowd, the same group, the same interest groups doing the same thing.
All right, shifting gears back to the new Bretton Woods Agreement. They're openly saying small group of international banks setting world policy. Stiglitz is saying it. They're all saying it. Basically, world government of and by, that's their words, the banks setting global carbon credit taxes paid to them. Do you think they're going to be able to get that coming up at this series of meetings?
No, because the United States and Europe no longer are undisputed leaders. The United States is busted and totally dependent on foreigners, primarily Asians and Arabs, to finance their consumption and the daily operation of their government, their wars, the defense budget. The Chinese and the Russians are not going to let themselves be put under the thumb of some kind of banking group. It's not going to happen. I think that what this November 15th meeting is about is the rest of the world serving notice on the United States that it's no longer going to be the one that calls the financial tunes, because the dollar needs international support, and Wall Street has shown that it's irresponsible and incompetent, and so its credibility is gone. So I think you're going to see people that what they're going to say is, look, we need to move to a reserve currency that's a basket of currencies in which the dollar plays a role but is no longer the dominant factor. So I think that's what's gonna start. And I don't think the banks are going to take over. The Chinese are not going to let some stupid European bank conspiracy take over China, or and certainly the Russians aren't. They almost had that, you know, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and they were struggling. They almost got taken over, but Putin ran them all out of the country, and I don't think he's going to let them back. So, and there's going to be so many problems here from unemployment, from tent cities, from whatever the ridiculous policies that the Congress passes, that they're going to just have their hands full with troubles.
Okay, well, then let me ask you this question. Why do they keep saying, because you worked in the White House, you worked, you know, headed up the Treasury, you know, you've been, you know, part of it, different international bodies studying the Russian-U.S. relations. So you've got your finger somewhat on the pulse of this better than I do. They keep saying to the liberal press, get ready, he's going to do things you don't like. He's going to do things internationally you don't like. He's going to do things militarily you don't like. And the press says, it's, you know, well, what is it? Well, we can't tell you. What is it they're talking about, or what do you think it may be they're talking about, that they're worried and getting the media and the population ready for it? Because, I mean, that's all they talk about. It's there's probably 25 articles a day with even Merkel and Brown and Sarkozy. I mean, that's all they're talking about.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I really don't know. But all I can say is I don't think their power is very great. And I think the new, very heavily populated countries are going to carry the balance of power in the future, India and China, even possibly Brazil. These countries are on the rise. They're not going to put up anymore with being bossed around by a bunch of dumb shit Europeans and Americans. They're just not going to.
Dr. Roberts, please. We got a lot of stations out there, but I guess you're the former head of the Treasury, so whatever. The point is, I'm even hearing this kind of talk on NPR now, so I guess things are changing. My point is, here's another example. I go on Russia Today just like you do. I talk to Russians. They're trying to be free market. They hate communism. I talk to them. But then I go on Russia Today. I say it's wrong that we attack Georgia, Russia through Georgia into South Ossetia as a proxy. And then I have all these idiot neocons emailing me going, you work for the Russians, you're KGB. They're so childlike. You worked out some of the deals with the Russians there at the end of the Reagan administration that helped bring down the Berlin Wall and the rest of it. Would you like to explain to them, from your perspective, who the Russians really are today, instead of just claiming they're a bunch of commies?
Well, they're not commies. I mean, Gorbachev was a commie, and he gave it up himself. So, no, they're not commies. They had 75 years of that, and it cured them. And, you know, if you look at the way their leaders speak, they speak the way we used to speak. They want international cooperation. They want international law. They want people to follow the rules. They don't want arms races. They don't want military adventures. They sound like our founding fathers. So they don't have any empire aims. And I don't think, I think communism is a gone thing. It's gone even in China. They still have the Communist Party, but they're not communist in any policy sense or any political sense.
Well, they keep calling it socialism to bail out these banks, but I just call that a good old-fashioned looting or bank robbery. So, but if anybody's...
Yeah, that's probably what it is. It was a heist. It was a bank heist. They took all that money. And they gave it to banks, and they're using it now to buy the banks. So the whole thing was a fraud, like everything else they've told us. You know, like 9/11, like Iraqi weapons of mass destruction, like Iranian nukes. It's, they tell you stuff, get everybody all scared, and rush something through that. It was pillage. Yeah.
Well, that's my last question, sir, and then we're going to let you go, and we appreciate the time. I remember reading the banker bailout bill, and by the way, the final version had it, just in more legalese terms, about no one can review this, no one can look at this, it will be secret, no court can review it. Bloomberg reported correctly, Ron Paul's reported it's more like $5 trillion, they've already sucked about $1 trillion out. And now, even the New York Times reported, the head of Goldman Sachs in a conference call with another one of the big brokerage firms saying, oh, this is great. We're going to use this for bonuses and to buy other banks and insurance companies and other corporations. And no, we're not going to loan it out to the people and get the economy going. And they're so arrogant, just in front of reporters, they'll brag about it. It sounds like insane hubris. And then Goldman Sachs England took a £7.5 billion bonuses, 14 plus billion in dollars. And I mean, again, every time I think I can't be shocked, it just goes to a new level of insanity.
That's right. You know, we're easy. We're people who are easy to con because they still trust the government despite everything they've seen and learned and witnessed. And whatever it tells them the next day, they'll believe that too. That's the whole problem, isn't it, Alex?
Well, I agree that some people are dumbed down, but they had 1,000-to-1 phone calls. Polls were 95, 98, depending on the poll, against the bailout. And then I had congressmen on. They were threatened with physical martial law by the executive branch if they didn't pass that a month ago. So, in a way, it's not even the people of the Congress now. I think it's just executive terrorism, and now Obama's announcing his whole cabinet, basically, and it's the same people.
Yeah, it's the same people. But still, where are they going to get the money? The economy's in recession. I mean, you know, you saw what the job report was today.
Yeah, a million.
Another 200,000 down. And even the rig way of measuring unemployment, they say now it's the highest in a couple of decades. So it's not a situation that's propitious for them. And the more they do this, I think the more they'll be to pay at some point. But, you know, you can't say you're going to be a world power while you run the country into the ground.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. They had the greatest engine. Even if we were going to have a corrupt New World Order system, we had the, you know, the big empire, the wealth, the power, and they just, like a third world country, they're just looting it. So even from a position of wanting to have long-term power, it looks like what they're doing is bad.
That's right. You can't be a powerhouse if the rulers are running the country into the ground. The two things are incompatible. So,
why was that decision made to do that? It wasn't done in the past in U.S. history.
I don't know. I just don't know, Alex. They don't call me up and tell me. I don't know. Well, you know, the things that have happened don't make a lot of sense, and they don't really lead to any good result, even for the people doing it. So, you know, whether it's hubris, arrogance, hubris, stupidity, you know, why in the world did Napoleon march off into Russia? There was no reason for him to do that.
Why did Hitler go to North Africa?
Well, yeah, and why did he march off into Russia? I mean, people do things that are stupid, and, you know, they get drunk and drive their car and crash and kill a bunch of people, and, I mean, it's just, why do they do things?
Well, I guess it's because, like the PNAC said, we got the power. Why not go for global domination? And that's what they're doing. And I think they're just so arrogant with all their hookers and money and power and all the yes men that I think they really still think that they're unstoppable.
Don't you think global domination came to an end in Georgia? It took the Russian soldiers a few hours to clear out the army we had trained and equipped. And don't you think it's come to an end in Afghanistan?
What about Israel and Hezbollah?
In Iraq, and Israel has tried twice to defeat Hezbollah and failed. And I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to dominate anything, and I think that's what the meeting on November 15th is about. The Europeans and the rest are going to tell us that we're going to dominate less. Fewer things.
What do you see happening to the dollar when they do that?
Well, it'll be part of saving the dollar. It'll be part of, I mean, the dollar is going to be saved by being reduced. You know, it can't go on like it is. I mean, the Chinese themselves said, you know, one of my columns a week or so ago, I was quoting what the Chinese had to say about the dollar and all this, and they said, why in the world are we lending to the Americans so they can go on forever deeper in debt? And so everybody sees it, and I think the financial crisis has sort of made them think that it's time for them to rein it in. Obviously, the Americans aren't smart enough or willing to, so the rest of the world is going to rein it in, I think. I think that's what is, and it'll take a while. It won't happen immediately, and people will be excited. The Bush is gone, and they've got Obama, and he's the first black American, and this proves the Americans aren't as racist as we thought, and maybe they're better in other ways than we thought, and maybe we need to give them a second chance.
But won't that goodwill turn into bitter poison if Obama pulls a bunch of stunts?
Right, it will. It will. And if it turns into bitter poison before they've rescued us, then we're really going to have hard times here. Look, if people, if you've got a $1 trillion budget deficit and foreigners won't lend you money, how do you finance it? You have to print money. And then you get into Weimar Germany. Now, how powerful was the Weimar Germany government? It wasn't powerful at all because it inflated everybody into nothing, and people hated it.
Well, a lot of economists say we've already done enough printing to pretty much cause that a few years down the road.
Well, no, nothing like what would be if they have to print the money to pay their bills. If they can't any longer borrow from the Arabs and the Chinese and the Japanese, and even the Russians. I mean, the Russians owned $100 billion of our Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac mortgages. I mean, even the Russians are financing Americans' mortgages. I mean, the Chinese held $400 billion of American mortgages. So we can't even buy our own houses without foreign financing.
All right.
This is true. I mean, you have to realize it's not a superpower. It's a financially dependent country being run into the ground by a bunch of shysters.
No, I agree. I agree. And then, well.
And, So, you know, I don't think Obama will bring change, but I think the financial deterioration of the United States will bring change. And I can't say that what that change is going to be, whether we're going to pull our boots up and get to work in the right way, or whether we're going to end up in some kind of a worse pickle.
All right, Dr. Roberts, The Tyranny of Good Intentions is the book. Get it. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. Goodbye.
There he goes. Final segment straight ahead. Stay with us. Stay the course.
Our beloved republic is on her knees. The forces of globalism are destroying national sovereignty world.
I think the financial deterioration of the United States will bring change, and I can't say that what that change is going to be, whether we're going to pull our boots up and get to work in the right way, or whether we're going to end up in some kind of a worse pickle.
All right, Dr. Roberts, The Tyranny of Good Intentions is the book. Get it. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. Goodbye.
There he goes. Final segment straight ahead. Stay with us. Stay the course. Don't forget, I'll be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. with the abbreviated Sunday edition, Central Standard Time. Be sure and join us then.
Ira Hayes.
We are back live,
Ira,
ladies and gentlemen. They have wide open phones again this Sunday. By the way, this stuff gets worse and worse with Obama. We're discovering by the minute. We should have done more research on this. We knew it was bad. Even the Albuquerque Examiner has the headline, Rahm Emanuel wants compulsory service for your kids. That's on the Obama website now. It says your kids are going to have to go serve the government. Youth brigades, tattletale squads. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And see, they know, though, they're going to have the brainwashed kids wanting to be part of it. Let me tell you, look, teenagers with guns, just stay away from you little thugs in your little black uniforms. I mean, just stay away, you anti-American trash. This is total New World Order Nazism slash communism. Folks, the news I'm looking at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, I'm going to cover it all Sunday. Instead of I have guests and cover and take calls, I won't have time. There's just hundreds of incredible things. This is all off the chart. We got about 4 minutes left. I want to bring Ted Anderson up with a gold and silver offer. And folks, understand, most people can't even get it at a 20, 30, 40, 50% premium. Ted has the national and international sources to get gold and silver because he buys it in bulk at spot. And then he even buys it when it's down, like it was a week ago, and now it's way up. And he sells it for what he got it for when it was down. You cannot find deals better than this. Believe me, I've looked. He has Indians. He has, well, Ted, real fast, tell them what you've got. Tell them the gold and silver you've got today.
Well, obviously, one of the very popular coins is that Augustus St. Gaudens designed the $10 Indian. Very beautiful piece, but at the same time, you get so much gold for your melt value, and you're not going to find it anywhere else, that's for sure. That coin currently right now is trading at a price of $673. It's a $10 Indian, and it's just, you can't beat it. I mean, that's the coin that was issued by Augustus St. Gaudens, Teddy Roosevelt era. It's a beautiful piece. I also have those $5 moderns and MS-70. I mean, these are slabbed coins issued by the U.S. Mint as collector. They're basically confiscation proof. The United States government can call them bullion gold and take them from you because they sold them as numismatic. So they're at $384. That also is just a fabulous buy. Getting close to the melt value like you're talking about, the spot prices, that's the franc at 198 and the British sovereign at 241. Right now at this particular time, small gold makes an awful lot of sense. I mean, listen to Paul Craig Roberts. I some of these interviews just jack me up so much, Alex, I just can't
believe it. Well, by the way, I mean, for the most gold for the least amount of money, it's the francs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely hands down.
And then the next best deal is the sovereigns. You've got an insane deal on sovereigns. And to be clear, I bought two Indians yesterday because it's such a gorgeous coin. It's such a good deal on a collector coin. I bought two Indians yesterday afternoon from Ted because you can't find those anywhere near that. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. But the sovereign and the francs, those are probably per capita the best deal you're going to find anywhere in the country. But it's also a great deal on those Indians. 1-800-686-2237. And, Ted, there are going to be brokers there all weekend. Even though gold's going up right now, you're going to be able to lock that in till Sunday?
Absolutely. We'll hold the prices for them.
And there's going to be people there how late every evening, the brokers?
Well, a lot of the times they're here till midnight, but, at least till 11 o'clock Central Time, you'll get somebody live to answer the telephone.
800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. What about silver?
Silver is also a great buy at this time. Still, the dimes are the best buy for the money. They're $1.69. You just can't. Again, small pieces of silver, small pieces of gold. Our economy.
800-686-2237. Ted, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks a lot, Alex.
All right. Retransmission on the web starts now at InfoWars.com and rebroadcast around the country on the AM and FM shortwave. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back in 1 minute at InfoWars.com.